The great American Southwest, and pumping out to you loud and crystal clear from sea to shining sea and all the way from pole to freezing pole and everywhere there is in between. It is always my honor and pleasure to welcome you well to the Kingdom of Nye, and I am your host tonight, Heather Wade. And I really do appreciate you turning in tonight, tuning in with us to spend your night raging through it. Well, we are certainly going to do that tonight. Oh, I've got a very interesting guest for you, a guest that I always enjoy talking with on the program, and that is my friend way out there in Greece, Athanasios Komianos, and he wants to join the program tonight to have a good discussion about the phenomenon of past lives and reincarnation, which is always an interesting subject to me. It was always a very interesting subject to art. And, well, this is what we're going to do tonight. I thought tonight would be a perfect night because, you know, as I thought about it, I don't think we've done a real good show on reincarnation in way too long. So Athanasios Komianos is going to be joining us there after the bottom of the hour break, and that is the plan. And I got to tell you, all of you out there, boy, it really has been one crazy 24 hours for me. I mean, no disasters or anything like that, just, wow, going, 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 and here I finally am on the air where it just feels like home to be here with all of you. And we've got a couple of news items to get to. You know, I'm trying to catch up on the news out there. The news in astronomy, the news, the latest in the paranormal and all this good stuff. Trying to catch up on that. I've had a good, I don't know, month and a half, something like that. Maybe 2 months. Just not really got my finger on the pulse of the paranormal news the way I used to. But don't worry, fear not. We are working on that right now. And, you know, I just kind of want to take a breath here. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think I work harder now off the air than on. But I do want to thank the people out there that are helping me. And those people don't want me to mention their names, but those are out there, those of you out there who have helped, you know exactly who you are, and I won't mention your names, but I will move my microphone down just a little bit. I can hear that my microphone is not quite there. We go there, now we're in the right place. Anyhow, I wanted to thank all the people out there that have helped so far, you know, getting this program back on the air and the whole, you know, machine that this show is. It takes a lot of work, and there are people behind the scenes and in the shadows. I know I probably said this last night also, but because it means just so much to me, I want those people to know right off the bat here, right before we jump into anything and get started, thank you. Thank you. I know you guys got the broadcast. You're tuned in, listening to the broadcast right now, and again, I can't say their names, but they do know who they are out there, especially the handful of people that were up with me last night in the wee hours of the night, making sure every little thing is done, every detail is attended to, including, by the way, all of the new subscribers out there. I know some of you subscribe and then you wonder, well, where is my password? How do I log in? The easiest thing to do is to email subscribers, with an S, at artbelllegacy.com. There are real people behind that email address that really will help you, and they're eager to help you. So if you have subscribed and you haven't received anything in the mail, in the email, and you don't know what your username or your password is, just send an email to subscribers@artbelllegacy.com, and they'll be more than happy to get on it and help you. Of course, those of you who have subscribed, you've been emailing me as well, so I get your concerns right on over to the subscribers team, and they handle it one person at a time, one subscriber at a time. And I want to thank those of you who have subscribed. It really does do a lot of good for us when you subscribe. It keeps us on the air, and, well, I'm hoping that your $4.99 gets you a little bit of a sweeter deal. First of all, you can just use your credit card to subscribe. You don't have to rely on PayPal. If you go over to artbelllegacy.com, there's a subscribe button. That's all you have to do. Click the subscribe button, and on that page, you'll find the information there. You can subscribe with PayPal or just your credit card. Now, something else that we're doing that is really, really exciting to me, and I had to double check with the network on this before I really went, you know, forward, before I made an announcement, I wanted to double check with the network because, well, we've got the music in our archives. How do you like that? Oh, yes, and for anybody listening out there, I have my very own music license, so don't worry about that. I've got mine, and the network has theirs, and I really think it's cool that we get to offer you the music in the archives. That's a big, big, big deal to me. And we don't have any exclusive interviews in our archive just yet, but we are working with some very good guests to get us some pre-recorded exclusive interviews just for those of you subscribers out there. This will be exclusive content available only to our subscribers as a big thank you from my heart to you to show some of my gratitude. And I thought, well, the best way to do that is to maybe provide some exclusive content for you, some exclusive interviews. So what we are going to do is look for some of the best of the best in the paranormal field and get some pre-recorded interviews in. We're currently working on that right now. And then when we have exclusive interviews tucked away in the archive for all of you, I'll announce it on the air, I'll announce it on the website, on my personal Facebook page. We will make sure that you guys know about that. And another little bit of housekeeping when it comes to subscribers is that we are working on getting an RSS feed. For those of you out there who want it that way, I know there's a lot of people, a lot of listeners out there who wanted an RSS feed and who enjoyed the previous RSS feed in our previous incarnation. So, well, isn't that interesting? We're going to talk about reincarnation tonight, and I have just renamed the program. I wonder if Nasos will have anything to say about that. Anyhow, I just wanted to clear up a lot of those things because these are the most common questions that I'm getting from the subscribers out there, and I really just wanted to thank you from my heart, from my haunted, haunted little paranormal heart. Thank you so much for offering us that support. It really means a whole lot to me and the entire team. It really, really does. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this email, but I got a really nice email from a listener out there, and I thought I'd try to share this with us tonight. I have a couple of news items that I'm going to get to, namely the big news about Mars, right? Building blocks of life found on Mars. So I'm going to get to that in just a second, but I got so many nice emails from all of you out there. Ever since April 13th, I have gotten more emails, I think, than I've ever received before. And there's just so many of them. And I got this one here just tonight, and I read it, and I thought, wow, this really sums it up. And it's a good example of the many, many emails that I've gotten from you, and I'm just trying to show my gratitude here, so I thought I would bring this email to share it tonight, so you guys get an idea of what's happening here in my little world, here in the Kingdom of Nai, in the high desert. So this is from a gentleman by the name of Kenton. And Kenton said, and again, bear with me because someone might start cutting onions in the studio here as I try to make it through this email. He's just real sweet. So he says, well, hello, Heather. I've been with you in the night since you first started. That's what caught my attention right away. And thank you, Kenton. He says, I've been with you in the night since you first started, silently listening and absorbing everything. But it would be difficult for me to call in and talk with you because I'm usually working while I listen. I'm a filmmaker by day and a baker by night, unfortunately, right now, to pay the bills and student loans. Oh, don't worry. I can certainly understand that. And he says, to get through my nights, I listen to you. I've never called into a show or even written to a host before, but I've never listened to another show quite as much before, and I just feel compelled to say hello and to thank you, because in a strange way, I feel like I know you. Yeah, that really means a lot to me. It really does. He says here, I started listening to you when I moved back home to Kentucky from New York after working as a production assistant for a few years on different TV shows and movies. This was a depressing time for me, and it was hard to be back home in Kentucky after doing such cool work in New York. But I had family and health matters to attend to. Thankfully, however, I had you in the night to keep me company. Thank you for carrying the show for Art when he needed to step aside. And thank you for finding the strength after these recent difficult times to come back to all of us in the night that need you so much. And this is the hard part for me to get through in this email. Listening to you has turned my attention to the unknown. Let me bite my lip. And my writing efforts more toward the mysterious and the paranormal. I've even recently considered producing a documentary. I never thought I would consider doing documentaries after wanting to make narrative features for so long, but I'd like to examine some sort of paranormal subject or possibly cryptids in the backwoods of Kentucky. Well, you know what, Kenton, if you go looking in the backwoods of Kentucky, I just happen to know there are some very unusual cryptids specific to Kentucky. He says here, you and your show inspire me, and I'll be there with you. Maybe when I discover something interesting in my own investigations, I'll call in and share it with you and everyone. If you ever read this, thank you for allowing me to possibly overindulge just a little in this introduction from Kenton. And, you know, this is a fine example of so many emails that I have received during this time, and every single one lifts me up just that little bit. And there have been so many of these, and so many people behind the scenes that have helped to sort of lift me up. You know what it reminds me of? And you guys are probably going to laugh at this, but you guys know, right, that I'm an old hair metal girl, and I've had my share of time in the mosh pit. Oh, yes, I have. And I remember floating on the crowd. Any of you ever done that? I'm sure some of you out there must be nodding your heads. You know, when we were young, we just did crazy things. You know, getting back on the air has really reminded me of that. It reminds me of being in that big crowd of people in the big audience right in front of the stage there. And when everyone in the whole crowd just decides to pick you up, and, you know, you're on top of the crowd, floating on the crowd, and they're kind of passing you along. And sometimes, if you're very lucky, they might pass you along all the way to the stage, and you end up on the stage with the band for a second. You know, this has felt like it. It's felt like many, many, many hands coming together, and each one offering me a little lift, and it means the world. It really does mean the world to me. And Kenton, Yes, I read your email, and I hope you send me more emails in the future, and do keep me updated, and all of us updated, on any investigations that you do in Kentucky. We'd certainly want to hear about it, and Kenton, I really hope you're listening out there. If you make a documentary, and it's good, and it's interesting, well, you know, that would give me the perfect opportunity to have you on as a guest. You never know what's going to happen. So thank you very much for that, Kenton. And again, I just wanted to give you guys an example, just a good example of some of the emails that I'm getting over here. All right, now, let's get to some of the news items that I have for us tonight. Not much, but I think they're both fairly interesting. First order of business is this big news about Mars, the building blocks of life found on Mars, which I thought was just fascinating because I had a few people get in touch with me and they said, hey, Heather, there's going to be a big, big news coming out about Mars. What do you think it's going to be? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think of is they possibly might have found evidence of, you know, life, ancient life on Mars. Really, it was just a guess off the top of my head. And then here I've got the headline right in front of me. Turns out maybe I was on to something. Well, it turns out there were two landmark discoveries that reveal organic carbon on Mars, shaping the future hunt for life on the planet. And this article here comes right out of National Geographic. So this is a really good article, and I love the way it starts here. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. But I do love the way it starts, written by Michael Greshko, and he starts it off here by saying something that, you know, you guys have heard me refer to a few times, and that is, you know, there's a lot going on in the area of space exploration, but we tend to forget in our day and age. We just tend to forget that there's astronauts up there on the International Space Station, and that humankind has been driving a nuclear-powered science mobile the size of an SUV on another planet. I mean, isn't that incredible? To me, that is just incredible. So this engineering marvel is known as NASA's Mars rover Curiosity. And Curiosity has revolutionized everything we think we know about Mars, and thanks to the rover, we now know that ancient Mars had carbon-based compounds called organic molecules, key for the raw materials as life as we know it. Now, this is very interesting, because what have we always said? If we can find traces of life, even microbial life, out there on another world, within our solar system or outside of our solar system, then that might be a clue to us of if life is rare or is it prolific out there in the universe. Well, I've always believed that there's plenty of life out there, we just haven't found it yet. Well, a new study published in Science just today presents the first conclusive evidence for large organic molecules on the surface of Mars. And this began way back with NASA's Viking landers in the 1970s. Now, earlier tests may have hinted at some organics on the planet, but the presence of chlorine in the Martian dirt complicated those interpretations. Now, I know probably a lot of people out there are nodding their heads and they're saying, well, yes, I knew this already. Well, maybe a lot of us did, but this is that conclusive scientific evidence that cannot be argued with. That's what we were looking for, and we finally have it. So all those of you who have had this idea in your head, you knew that there was a possibility of life existing on Mars in the past. Well, you are now all vindicated. Here we've got the scientific proof, conclusive scientific evidence. Now, I'd like to give you a quote from Jennifer Eigenbrody, who is a biogeochemist at NASA Goddard, and this is what she had to say. She said, when you work with something as crazy as a rover on Mars, with the most complex instrument ever sent into space, it seems like we're doing what may have been perceived earlier as impossible. And she continued to say, I work with an amazing group of people on Mars, and we have discovered so much. Well, let's get into the details here. I need me a little sip of coffee first, if you don't mind. Sorry about that. It's a little unprofessional of me, but let's get into the details of this discovery. Curiosity's latest data reveal that the watery lake that once filled the Mars Gale crater contained complex organic molecules about 3.5 billion, with a B, years ago. Now, hints of those are still preserved in the sulfur spike rocks derived from those lake sediments. Sulfur, actually, might have helped protect the organic molecules, even when the rocks were exposed at the surface to radiation and some other bleach-like substances. Now, by themselves, the new results are not evidence for ancient life on Mars. Now, don't get it confused. Non-living processes can also yield identical molecules, but there's another aspect of this story. Just hang on. At a minimum, this study does show that traces of bygone possible Martians of a single-celled type, perhaps, could have survived for eons, if they existed at all, and it does hint at where future rovers might look for more evidence of life on Mars. And this is called a very important finding. It's called groundbreaking. I mean, this is a very exciting discovery. And let me see, here's Samuel Canaves, who is a chemist over at Tufts University and a former lead scientist for NASA's Phoenix Mars lander, said, and I quote, there are locations, especially subsurface, where organic molecules are well preserved. So, you know, we're going to continue learning a whole lot about our own red neighbor over there, Mars. Well, here's the other aspect of the story that I was talking about. In addition to this ancient carbon that has been discovered, Curiosity rover has also caught whiffs of, methane. The rover has periodically sniffed at Mars' atmosphere since it landed, and in late 2014, researchers using the data, they showed that methane, one of the simplest organic molecules that exist, is present in Mars' atmosphere. Now, this is very, very telling, and also very, very interesting that methane could be found in the atmosphere. Even more interesting about the methane in the atmosphere on Mars, well, number one, it shouldn't be there at all. It should simply just not even be there. Now, let me get to this little detail. All right, here it is. Check this out. The methane concentration in the Mars atmosphere is seasonal, actually. And this kind of makes sense to me. So what you've got in the winter, the methane sort of goes way down to about 0.2 parts per billion. But in the summer, when there's more heat, in the Martian summer, it goes all the way up to 0.6 parts per billion. Well, what do we know about life? Life tends to need a warm temperature, right? Heat tends to wake things up. Now, this is not in the National Geographic article. This is just a hypothesis, just an idea that I have from looking at this article. I just wonder if there isn't microbial life on Mars that possibly multiplies in the summer, therefore causing an increase in the methane concentration in the atmosphere. Now, if that is true, if, and that's a gigantic if, in all caps, if that's true, we might find living microbial life on Mars. Now, that would be a very big discovery and a very, very big deal. And I think it would be do a whole lot for, I think, well, how do I put this? You know, here we are, those of us who know there's life out there in the solar system. We know there's life out there on other planets. And we always talk about why won't mainstream science look at this? Why won't mainstream science give a real, close, serious look at the questions that you and I have? If we were to find actual living organic molecules on the surface of Mars, there you go. now, just maybe, and again, this is a hypothesis, but just maybe, those mainstream scientists might start taking the idea of life on other planets, life elsewhere in the universe, or even our own solar system a whole lot more seriously. So I thought this was very interesting and very, very big, big news. There's a whole lot more in the article. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get this article over to our web team probably tonight so that we can get that on artbelllegacy.com because we haven't been able to do that for a little while. But don't worry, we're going to get caught up on all that stuff. And, you know, I did have a little something-something I wanted to talk about, but it looks like I'm out of time here. I'll just let you know, look, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the Bat Squatch tomorrow before we really start into open lines tomorrow, just for fun, because I found a recent article about the good old-fashioned Bat Squatch. So we'll get into that tomorrow. For now, we already got to take us a break, and when we come back, a good friend of mine, Athanasios Komianos, is going to join us all the way from Greece for a nice, in-depth conversation on the topic of reincarnation and past life regression, a fascinating topic, always good to spend a night with, and so is Nasos. You're really going to get a kick out of Nasos Komianos, great speaker, very knowledgeable on his subject, and he has a sense of humor. So I'm Heather Wade, and we'll be right back, everybody.
Facebook and other platforms? Do you spend hours and hours endlessly going through posts by alleged friends in an endless quest to have a life? You need Fakeaway, available exclusively through the LNM Radio Network. Our crack scientific teams have worked tirelessly to perfect this product and have made it available to you through this limited offer. Fakeaway can solve the problems suffered by you and many others. It can help you understand you have been snowed by the fake media, the social media biases you encounter every time you click refresh, and even help your hair grow by keeping you from pulling it out over the smallest offenses. Get Fakeaway today, only through LNM Radio Network. Fakeaway is not for shills, disinfo agents, lovers of politicians who keep screwing the country, constant end-of-the-world predictors, liars, hostile radio show hosts, or snowflakes.
These are your brain cells. On other station. And these are your brain cells on this radio station. Trust me, we're good for you.
To hide the truth once you know it makes you think that you are better than everyone else. It makes you into the type of person who says, "Ooh, I have a secret," but you're not ready to hear it yet. However, for $39.95, I'll let you in on the secret. You'll lead the people to the promised land for the cheap price of three easy payments of one-third of their soul apiece.
You've reached the LNM Support Group Hotline. If you've been rejected from LNM Radio Network as a guest for making dumb statements, please press 1. If you've been exposed as a shill on the LNM Radio Network, please press 2. If you believe what the mainstream media tells you instead of the LNM Radio Network, please press 3. If you've been triggered by something you've heard on the LNM Radio Network, After the beep, please leave your name and address, and our Puppy Power team will immediately send out your Cocoa Puppy Care package. Group meetings take place each Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Please bring your own blanket and one for a friend. Diapers will be provided, and our Puppy Power team will assist your changing needs. This group is open to everyone who has been rejected, cannot act like an adult, or have an unhealthy obsession with fidget spinners. Coloring books will be passed out at the door. If your parents have cut you off from your college tuition for being a whiny noodle, our Kit and Caboodle team will come to your door to help you smile again. Ramen will be provided as well. The L&M Radio Network Support Group Hotline is here for you. Please let your friends know they can call 1-645-536-6425. That's one millennial.
If there's more than one millennial, do not be triggered by the number. L&M Radio Network Support Group may cause uncontrollable crying, zombie-like effects such as walking off cliffs while looking at your phone, or an inability to deal with others or reality. The L&M Radio Network Support Group hotline is not for everyone. If you are awake, aware of reality, aware the mainstream media is full of bias, understand the alternative media is just as filled with bias and lies, know the truth about 9/11, aliens, the paranormal, and Bigfoot, and the way the medical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial complex controls everything, do not call this number. The L&M Radio Network Support Group hotline may cause you to see rainbows, unicorns, flying toasters, cause you to fall for every new challenge game and newest YouTube video that claims it knows exactly when the world is going to end.
L&M fans and late-nighters around the world, have you captured something on that photo or video of yours? Send in your photos and videos of ghosts, orbs, UFOs, Planet X, or just about anything content-related by submitting them to the Late Night in the Midlands Facebook group or fan page, or you can submit them on Twitter using hashtag L&M Radio. And if you would rather stay anonymous, then email them to us at mv@latenightinthemidlands.com. We will share them at our new fan page on the L&M website and may even ask you to come on air a few minutes and tell us about your photo or video. Late Night in the Midlands, we're building a bridge to the truth and beyond.
That for all of those of you out there who have seen the movie I, Origins. Oh, it's such a good movie. And by the time we get done with this show tonight, you definitely want to go see the movie I, Origins. Just go out there and find it. It's a few years old now. And you'll get exactly why I played this song now. I'd like to introduce you to our guest tonight and welcome him to the program. Athanasios Komianos was born in Kefisia, Greece, in 1964. He moved to the United States, where he studied psychology in Rose State College at Oklahoma City. Soon, he moved into Oklahoma University, and he finally graduated from Old Dominion University at Norfolk, Virginia, in 1985 as a sociology graduate. Well, he had to abandon his graduate work and return to Greece for family reasons. His interest in hypnosis and in the depth psychology was still with him until finally, after a very long and torturous detour, he came to practice it as a hypnotherapist at the island of Corfu in Greece. He was approved as a certified hypnotherapist by the National Guild of Hypnotists and as a certified regression therapist by the International Board for Regression Therapy. He was also a member of the IARRT. He also has served at the board of the Earth Association for Regression Therapy and as a vice president and president. Since 2013, he has moved back to Cafecia, where he is successfully running his therapeutic practice. He is also founder and director of the Greek Academy of Regression Therapy, and it is an honor to call Nassos my friend. And it is even more of an honor to welcome him to the program tonight. Nassos, I'm so glad that you can join us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, dear Heather. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And it's very hot and early in the morning here. I'm sure it's dark over there. And I hope this difference in time will help us have a wonderful conversation.
Oh, it usually does, Nassos. It usually does. Although, you know, people might be wondering, like, what in the world is a little bit of awkwardness? I'll just let everybody know. You know, I was going to do a sound check with Nassos, and I called him not really knowing the time difference or how big the time difference was, and I woke him up at 1 o'clock in the morning, your time. Really sorry about that, Nassos.
I will get back to you. I'll take my revenge.
I bet you will. Huh?
I promise.
Yeah, just ring the phone at about, you know, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning my time, and you'll get me back. You'll get me back for that. And you probably get two of those because I just called you up and woke you up. You want to do a sound check now? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Did you know that? Oh my gosh. But you know, Art was so interested in the subject of past lives and reincarnation. And even though I woke you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, boy, did you ever send me a fantastic set of notes on everything to discuss tonight. I looked over this and thought, wow, this is going to be, you know, so much good material to discuss here. And you really, you know, have a nice little, I don't know, little guide for us to follow tonight. And I appreciate that a lot, Nassos. By the way, how have you been?
I've been doing fine. Quite busy, I would say. And I was excited that you brought up this subject because, you know, people are not, you know, they can accept probably the existence of spirits. They can accept that nothing ends after physical death, but they have a very big difficulty accepting the concept of reincarnation, and it's sort of a taboo subject. That's why I think it's thrilling to go over that and to clear things out for everyone to understand what is happening there.
I agree. I didn't realize that in some areas it's still considered a taboo subject.
It is because, you see, in Christian thought, this subject has been abandoned, let's say, through a political decision that took place centuries ago, back in 553 AD, when the Byzantine emperor Justinian anathematized, we would say exorcised, the beliefs in reincarnation. And that was a political decision, purely political decision. The truth is that fifth council of the Christian council that took place was never ratified by the Pope. It was an illegal council, in other words. And this exostracism of reincarnation was a political decision, which was wrong. And from there on, actually, antiquity died, and we went into the medieval years. Justinian could be considered the person who actually led Europe to the Dark Ages. After he closed the Plato's Academy in 529, and then he made this anathema on reincarnation and the beliefs of Origen. Origen was one of the best theologians of Christianity in the 3rd century. And he always believed in the pre-existence of the souls. And his writings were all burned in Constantinople.
Oh, gosh, that is such a shame. Anytime that happens back through history, and even today, you know, we lose things that just cannot ever be replaced to things like war, pillaging, curious people, and whatnot. It really breaks my heart to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, because, you see, I have no... I don't remember previous burnings. Well, I do remember, actually, a worse burning than that. Again, it was imposed by the Christians, and it was motivated by the Christians, and it was done in Alexandria, where the biggest library of the world existed at the time. And you can imagine that what we have from antiquity is only less than 1% what is left from that time. Most of the material was destroyed. 99% of the material was destroyed. And we have only leftovers of the wealth of knowledge of that time. So it's a pity that this happened. You know, it's a pity that philosopher Hypatia, who was an astronomer and a mathematician, was cut to pieces and burned to death, you know, by fanatic Christians. So that's a problem that we have to face. Whenever there is fanaticism, look what happens today with the Muslim radicals. When you're blinded, when you wear blindfolds, you do not allow yourself to listen to the other point of view. You are not open to dialogue, and you are not open-minded to explore and discover new things.
No, you're right. And any kind of fanaticism, I mean, I don't want anybody to think we're picking on any particular group, but any form of fanaticism, especially when you take it to such an extreme that nothing else can be, only this can be, only this is the right way and all other ways are wrong. Well, now you're in trouble because there's what? Is there 7 billion of us on this planet? And we all have different ideas, and I don't think one thing ought to be destroyed in the name of another. I think the more knowledge that we all have access to, the better off we all are.
I absolutely agree with you. And thank God there is that revolution of the internet. And even though, you know, there are a lot of false and fake news and fake articles, still, it's an oasis, it's of knowledge, and people can have access to the original material if they wish to search. So going back again to the beliefs of reincarnation, I want to solve another myth concerning this issue. Here in the West, most people believe that, especially after Madame Blavatsky, if you remember her back in the spiritual years, 1900s, published books about spiritualism, and she brought in to the West the ideas from India about reincarnation and how they still believe that, and how Buddhism and Hinduism flourished in the area. But what happened truly is was solved in Princeton University by a dissertation done by a student of philosophy back in the 50s, where he used all the written material which had survived from those years, and he said clearly that it was Greece that was accepting the concept of reincarnation and was publishing on this before India. So many people, you know, think India has made the start, but that's a false assumption. Probably it was simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But
that is interesting.
In written language, Greece has the first writings. And probably you have heard of Pythagoras,
mm-hmm.
The great mathematician of antiquity. But even his teachers already believed in reincarnation. And and Pythagoras himself was remembering and recollecting his own embodiments, previous embodiments. And actually, when he visited Delphi, the Oracle of Delphi, he found his former shield that he was using in a war, the Trojan War. And he recollected the memory from this by seeing that specific shield that he was wearing. So we have all kinds of recordings from that time. But not only Greece and India, it seems that a lot of tribes in Africa do believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. A lot of tribes in Alaska, mm-hmm. of the Indian people up there.
Okay, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, many shamans of Siberia, you know, all civilizations, they also accept the notion of reincarnation. And of course, there are even, you may not know that, but even in the Muslim world, there are exceptions like the Alevis or the Druze, that they do also accept reincarnation. So we do have, in every culture, in every society, in every religion, in every dogma, there is an exception accepting reincarnation.
That's really interesting to me, because then, you know, when it's all around the world in very different cultures, it starts to make me think that maybe this is just something that we know intrinsically, that maybe this is not a belief that some smart guy wrote down and passed along to everybody. Maybe this is just something within us that we just know, Nassos.
Yeah. You see, some people are very privileged, let's say, and their abilities are beyond normal. And probably during meditation or relaxation, images kept coming up that seemed to be belong to a former incarnation. And thus they arrived in such a conclusion that probably this is not the first time I'm walking on this earth. Probably I've been here before. But of course, what happened 3,000 years ago does not really matter, because if you really study these theological dogmas, you will see tremendous differences and different notions and different concepts. What matters most is what happens today and the scientific look at the matter. And I will go into this in a few minutes. But before I go there, I think we should first insist on one important thing, which is the existence of the psyche. You know, psyche is the Greek word psyche in Greek, which means soul, okay? And That's where we have psyche, psychology, psychiatry. It's from the soul. Now, the point is that modern psychiatrists and psychologists don't actually believe in the existence of the soul. This is a paradox, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. I remember going over this last time you were on,
yeah.
And it always has stuck in my mind that these things are the study of the soul. And look at the state of psychology and psychiatry today. It's almost like they don't accept the soul at all. They want to give you pills and medication. And I don't know that that helps the soul, but I found it just fascinating that that's the origin of the word. I'm always, I guess I'm a little geeky when it comes to etymology.
Yeah. So what we have here, there are two schools of thoughts. And again, we go back to ancient Greeks where there were two big schools. The school that believed on materialism.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whatever is accepted and sensed by our senses and understood by our senses is real, it exists. So, in essence, we are material beings, okay? And nothing else exists. And the idealist school, Plato, for instance, Pythagoras, Socrates, Plato, who said that, wait, there is another world of ideas, of energy that exists beyond us. We have no idea, and we live in a cave, and we can see only the shadow here on Earth. We are not seeing the real thing, which is above us, beyond us, and is far bigger than we are. So these two big schools were fighting with each other from the first time a dialogue started, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The point is that after the Industrial Revolution, materialism prevailed because we had the hard sciences. Oh, here it is. We can measure this. We can weigh this. We can put it on a measurement and we know what it is. We can repeat an experiment. And thus, whoever was into physics back in the 1700s, in the 1800s, was with science and had to reject everything else. And because of the darkness of the church at the time, they went all the way to the other end of the spectrum. You understand, there was an overreaction to the church, who was also dogmatic. So there was a big clash. So we have idealism on the one hand, materialism on the other. And of course, it's not only this. Some people say that it can be dual. In other words, that we have a duality in reality. In other words, ideas and are actually produced by matter.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
So matter right. is over ideas.
Uh-huh. So the two schools of thought are not mutually exclusive. They can blend.
Yeah, they can blend. But what creates what? So there is a fight there. So the idealists believe that ideas create matter, and materialists believe that matter creates ideas. I'm very simplistic on this. We are on a radio show. It's very difficult to go into more details without having slides to show or examples to give. It will be more difficult. But all these ideas have troubled science and religion for centuries. And this fight is still going on very fiercely within
really?
The academic world.
Okay.
Now, the point is that the materialist or the mainstream science does not accept the existence of the soul. We cannot see the soul. We cannot measure the soul. We cannot attend the soul. We cannot put it in a laboratory. And in a sense, they are right. But what they miss is the whole picture, because actually you study the soul through the manifestation of certain events. You see the byproduct of the existence of the soul, not the soul per se.
Now, I like this. I really like where you're headed here, because I kind of have a sense that if we do look at the byproducts, I guess the other signs that there is a soul, then that does point to the fact that there must be, because you can't have byproducts of anything unless you have what's causing those byproducts. So I really like where you're headed here. We've got to take ourselves into a break already, Nassos.
Oh, all right.
I know that the night is going to fly by so fast with you, but I did make a note, okay? I did make a note that when we get through this point that you want to talk about, we can get into the scientific side of it. So just put a pin in that thought right there. And when we come back,
okay,
I want to pick up exactly in this spot. Nassos Komianos, who I actually do know how to pronounce his full name correctly, Athanasios Komianos, joining us all the way from Greece to have this very fascinating discussion. And as you can see, he has thought about this a great deal. And it's sure to be an interesting night. I mean, we have just scratched the surface, just getting started. We've still got out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences, deathbed visions, hauntings to discuss, and not only that, but the proof of the existence of past lives to discuss tonight with Nassos Komianos. I'm Heather Wade, your fearless leader, and we'll be right back.
That the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on latenightinthemidlands.com, and together, maybe we won't stumble and fall.
Data, the sensors can't penetrate the planet's ionosphere. There's too much interference. Can you find a way to scan for life forms?
I would be happy to, sir. I just love scanning for life forms. Life forms. You tiny little life forms. You precious little life forms. Where are you?
Even the ETs know this is the place to be.
L&M Radio Network.
You can listen to the L&M Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through the Paranormal Radio app. Available from lnmradionetwork.com or TalkStreamLive.com on both Android and Apple. Our call to listen line is open 24/7. Dial 701-719-9704 so you can listen on the go.
Ever wanted to be sure your robot slave was behaving? Is Echo getting out of control and meeting with Alexa when you're not around? You need RoboGrog. RoboGrog is the new product from Snooze You Lose. the company that also brought you the fine products of Flog a Horse and Calm You Down Now. RoboGrog will put your robotic minions to sleep, bringing their AI a sense of peace and comfort. It does this by sending bolts of electricity straight where the sun doesn't shine. Get RoboGrog today at any fine retailer and set yourself free from the devices that bind you.
You can't just throw someone into prison and silence their warning because you don't agree with them. You don't have to like my methods or what I stand for. Silencing me won't make the problem go away. It will just whittle away at the ability of people to be ready for the real threats. And when the worst happens, and it will, maybe you can take comfort in protecting the people from a dangerous radical who wanted to tell them the truth.
Tired of searching for great talk and great information? Look no more. L&M Radio Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Back home, there's a growing pro-Earth movement. Rumors of hate groups targeting aliens. And on all sides, the fanatics. Think that society has to be protected against anyone who's different. Starting to wonder if what we just saw is a preview of things to come.
Oh, I can't believe we'd be that foolish.
Santayana, those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Fascinating subjects in all of the paranormal, and here's why. Because it affects all of us. All of us are here on this earth. We all have a soul, most of us, right? And we all wonder, have we been here before? Well, Nasos Komianos is here tonight to talk about the reasons why. The answer to that question is yes. And welcome back, Nasos, again. I like this idea, byproducts of the soul. I would love for you to continue on that.
Okay. So what we know today, the mainstream, is what is saying is that everything is a product of biochemical and electrical chemistry that is going on within our brain. That our consciousness is a product of our brain. And they all accept that as a dogma. Because the truth is that if you do accept this, what happens to volition? What happens to your choice? Now, my choice is to lift up my hand. Did something happen in my brain and started lifting my hand? Or it was my volition to lift my hand. How do they answer this question? I mean, how can you be so deterministic to accept that only biology exists and only physics exists, and there is no way for consciousness to act on its own? This dilemma, dear Heather, He's very old. Okay, as I told you, it's from the time of Pythagoras and Socrates. But in modern science, the dilemma was faced head-on by Dr. James, William James, the father of American psychology.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The Harvard professor. He faced that problem, and he had the answer. But to the disappointment of everyone, his notion was never accepted by the mainstream. What was his answer to this question?
Well, it must have been good if the mainstream didn't accept it.
That's, I don't know, maybe that's the rule sometimes.
Just made me wonder, yeah.
Yeah. What was his notion? What did he say, his hypothesis? That he suggested at the time the transmission hypothesis.
Oh.
In other words, there is a signal existing. It's an energy that we all tune into. In today's world, we would say, it's like Wi-Fi. Huh? Wi-Fi is everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What you need to download something, you just need a cell phone, or you need a laptop, or you need a tablet. And that's all you need to tune in and code and a password, and there is everything. So in other words, the brain is like a cell phone. It actually accepts the signal, downloads it, expresses it in the here and now. But if we break the cell phone, that does not mean the signal does not exist. If you break the brain, if you injure the brain, or if you kill the brain, that doesn't mean the signal does not exist.
Aha, now is where it gets very interesting.
So William James had solved that problem, philosophically speaking. He had no empirical evidence. He was also studying the obscure phenomena that were taking place at his time. And his fantastic book, Varieties of Religious Experiences, all shows what he was studying at the time on the 19th century. So now we've moved from there. Everybody abandoned his beliefs. But thank God, there are several scholars in America especially that took from where he left and kept on studying the subject. The most serious work has been done by the Department of Perceptual Studies at the University of Virginia, where these guys are doing really good work out there. And they have been doing that for 55, 60, almost 60 years now. They work very hard to collect all that evidence that is needed to support the hypothesis that the soul exists, consciousness exists. We will get into that. How do they do that? And it's not only the Department of Perceptual Studies; it's also the Esalen Institute at your side of the West Coast, in Esalen, in Big Sur.
Oh, I know where that is. Okay, right on the ocean. Okay.
Bravo, on the ocean. So. And you could add to this the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is a bit further to the north in Petaluma. Is that the right way to say it? Petaluma?
Yes, you pronounced it correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. So the IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, is more studying on ESP, telepathy, precognition, psychokinesis, such things. But again, all these studies, what do they do? They support the hypothesis of the existence of consciousness. Okay? So we have two big centers in West Coast and two big centers in East Coast. I forgot to mention the Rhine Center in North Carolina.
Yes.
And, of course, the ARE in Virginia Beach. So, but that is not so scientific. So I'm talking about the four scientific centers in America that really have been doing great job for many years now, and they have trouble collecting money to continue with their research. So what they have found? And what do they study? They study, for instance, out-of-body experiences. There are a lot of people who do have out-of-body experiences, and in some cases, these out-of-body experiences are veridical. In other words, we can verify that that person indeed had the ability to go out of the body and visit someone else. Do you remember Robert Monroe in Virginia?
Oh, yes. I've talked to a few people who have worked with Robert Monroe or who have been to the Monroe Institute. Oh, yes. Another very important institute involved in our kind of work. Yes.
Yeah. So Robert Monroe did a lot of work on OBEs, and he definitely studied that a lot. But when he was under scrutiny in an experimental design with Dr. Tartt, Charles Tartt from the University of Davis at the time, he did not succeed to have a veridical out-of-body experience. Mm. But Dr. Tartt had the ability at least once to almost prove, let's say, I don't use the word prove that much because I want to be cautious, but actually he proved that indeed there is the possibility of an out-of-body experience, and that was back in 69, I think. So you only have to bring one white crow.
Okay. I've heard the expression. Oh, yes,
yeah.
It's true.
William James, yes, again. So we have the out-of-body experiences, and then we have the near-death experiences.
Oh, yes. And both of these types of experiences are a little bit different, but they both still involve an existing energy body, for lack of a better term here, that can exist outside of the body. And how can that be possible if there is no soul?
Exactly. Let's call it a temporary dissociation of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, temporary dissociation of consciousness, which has the ability to go out of the body momentarily and grasp things, understand things, see things, feel things, and come back. Now, here, on the near-death experience, both the Department of Personality Perceptual Studies in the University of Virginia and the IANS in Durham, the International Association of Near-Death Studies, have done excellent work collecting data.
Oh, yes. Dr. Jeff Long must have 3,000 to 4,000 near-death experiences submitted to him by those who have had the experiences.
Yes. And what is the difference between that experience and an out-of-body experience?
I'll leave that to you. You're the expert for us tonight.
Well, the difference is that in an out-of-body experience, you cannot really, really prove it under experimental conditions because you're not monitored. So you go out and say, I went out of my body yesterday and I had an astral travel and I went there and I saw this and I went to the other. Nobody can believe you. But with a near-death experience, we do have monitoring. In other words, most people that die in a hospital, they are already monitored because they are on a surgery or they are in the ICU. So the monitors show to the doctors that this person is dead, that he has a cardiac arrest and his brain stops. So we know that according to the standards that are given by modern medicine, that there is no way that this person can have consciousness. So, but he died and he revived and he came back and he tells us a story. Now, that's the good thing, because you have evidence, because you know that person was dead for 10 seconds, for 3 minutes, for 8 hours. We know that that person was dead, physically dead. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of material has been collected that cannot be doubted and disputed anymore. I don't know if you are aware of a program that is called AWARE, I think it's called something like that, which, you know, they have placed in several hospitals into the surgery rooms, they have placed tablets above the light of the there is a big light over the table where they operate. Mm-hmm. Above the light, they place a tablet which has images, very, very peculiar and specific images that change. Now, the reason they did that is in case somebody dies during an operation and he has a near-death experience, which means also that he has an out-of-body experience, when he comes back to the body, he may notice what is on the tablet. And he may say, oh my God, there was a terrible image of an alligator eating whatever, let's say. That would really capture his imagination. And if he could come back, he could tell what is happening. Now, this is underway. It's not finished yet. But it's a very interesting concept that if some of the people who die momentarily and come back capture those images, and those images coincide with the timing, then you can say we have proof.
Oh, yes. And there's a famous story. I don't know if you probably have heard it. It's a story of the red shoe. You know about that story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At the hospital. Yeah. On the terrace, yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. And
on the side of the terrace, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic
and
story.
I believe the person who had that near-death experience, that out-of-body experience, was Hispanic and only spoke Spanish. And I had the privilege and the honor of talking to Kimberly Clark Sharp, who was a nurse on duty at the time.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She told me the story step by step. And again, it, you know, is a lot like leaving the tablets up there for someone to notice. It's a piece of evidence, a piece of information that the person would not have otherwise unless they really were out of their body.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there you have very strong evidence in support of the theory that there is a soul. Mm-hmm. Which is connected to the body, but it is not produced by the body.
Okay? Now, that is very interesting. Not produced by the body. This is very interesting. And I have direct experience with this. I mean, we don't have to go into it tonight because we have so much to cover. But I have had a near-death experience myself.
Yeah, I remember the first time you talked about this.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
It's a profound experience.
You are privileged. You know that you are privileged.
Well,
because of this.
Yeah, it feels like I got a glimpse of something that maybe the rest of us don't get to see. So I'm in a unique club of people who have had that experience. But this is why, Nasos, this conversation tonight, this subject, isn't just a passing interest, isn't just entertainment for a crowd out there. I've got direct experience with it. And yet at the same time, I bet you will hardly be able to believe this. At the same time I've had a near-death experience, I still have a little trouble with the soul and this whole idea, the whole concept of everything that we're discussing tonight.
Yeah, I can understand that because I can easily understand what you're talking about, because we are, most of us, in order to live in the here and now and act out and go to work and eat and go on with our lives, we are identifying our soul with our body constantly.
Yes.
Our identity is our body. So, Nassos is this body, this weight, this height, this. So, we limit ourselves to the body. We think of it in such a way. So, we forget the spiritual part of our. When we do not focus on the spiritual part of ourselves, that's why this is happening.
Mm.
We easily get. It is the easy way, you know, mm-hmm. to focus on your body instead of focusing on other aspects of your self.
You know, but I've found, especially in the last couple of months, that that maybe, I mean, you always need to take care of yourself. I mean, let's not overlook that. But I have found it's been brought into sharp focus that the spiritual side and the soul itself is equally as important, if not a little more so, because I think that if the soul is in good shape, is cared for, that I think the body will follow.
There is a strong tendency in people who are in alternative therapies to strongly believe in this notion that you just said. And I'm sure that if more people move into this direction, it will be more evident at the time. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
I really want to go back to this thing that you said about that these experiences, and I just want to make sure I heard you right, these experiences are not produced by the body?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that consciousness is not produced by the body.
Got you. Okay. All right. Somehow yet it resides, or at least animates
the
body. Yeah,
you have to register that, because you see, if you can imagine that consciousness works like the Wi-Fi, it mm-hmm. will be quite evident for you, even though you cannot see Wi-Fi. Huh? Look mm-hmm. around you. Do you see it?
No,
I don't see it. I'm
don't.
Looking around. There is not, I don't know where it is. But I can see the manifestation of the Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand now that I'm talking to America from Greece because of Wi-Fi. But I'm in Greece, you are in America. But we are using that. So that's the manifestation of the Wi-Fi. I can see it through my PC. You can see it through your laptop there. So you can imagine what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that, you know, the soul tunes with a specific embryo when it's about to incarnate. And it tunes in and it resonates accordingly. So they become one after the birth takes place. And then they continue along, but sometimes, as I said, there might be some dissociation. And as we discussed in another topic the other time, you may have cohabitants. You may have other people coming in.
Oh, yes.
In the specific body. Oh. Do you remember that discussion? That was
I
a long
do.
One.
I do. Yeah, it was. It was quite a while back. Well, it involved, I think, both of our previous programs that we did, and I believe it also involves your book, Rapid Entity Attachment Release.
Exactly.
Yes.
But let's not get into that. Let's not sleep there.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
just
we've got
focus on the other things that science has been studying. So these departments, as I said, the major breakthrough that they have been doing in this direction is the fact that they study cases where they were monitored deaths in hospitals, so they cannot be really disputed by the hard sciences because there is evidence there.
In regard to my own, I remember when I got the bill from the hospital, and I was relieved to
see.
You
died again?
Well, just about. But then the hospital actually had covered the whole procedure, and there was a list of the procedures that were done, and it was just there, one line item, Nasos, where it said complications. And, of course, there was a big bill for the complications, and it said 4 minutes and 30-something seconds. I don't remember exactly, but it was 4 minutes and 30 seconds that I was out, gone, brain dead, flatline. There was nothing there. And yet, within those 4.5 minutes, I mean, I could talk all night about what happened and everything that I experienced when I was over there. So, because of that, having a direct experience with it in my own life, you know, it brings all of this into question. It's not simply a conversation that's fascinating. You know, it's something that I experienced that still kind of remains a bit of a mystery. And let's talk about this when we come back. I don't necessarily want to talk about my own experience, but some of the research that you know about and maybe some of the scientific discoveries that you know about in regard to that fascinating subject. And then here we are, you know, making our way toward, you know, past life memories and deathbed visions and hauntings, poltergeist activity, all of these things are on the table tonight for Nasos Komianos and I to discuss. Again, joining us all the way from Greece, where it is a hot summer morning for him and a hot summer night here in the high desert for me. And we are raging through the night from the Kingdom of Nye with your host here, Heather Wade. Again, we'll be back in just a moment. Into the future.
Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at L&M Radio Network, Dr. Jason Rand and Peter Kling, The Final Countdown, the best information on what you need to know.
Computers don't make errors. What they do on purpose. By now, your name and particulars have been fed into every laptop, desktop, mainframe, and supermarket scanner that collectively make up the global information conspiracy, otherwise known as the Beast. You just be careful. Computers have already beaten the communists at chess. Next thing you know, they'll be beating humans.
Available now. Troll Spray. Do you have problems with trolls? Do you constantly find yourself turning on the light of truth and find they come out of the woodwork after you? Give your trolls a quick squirt of Troll Spray, and you'll be amazed at how quickly they flee. Troll Spray has been tested on all of the different types of trolls. Shills, false prophets, doomsayers, sock puppets, and of course, those ever-fearsome hostile radio show hosts. It works on them all! Get Troll Spray today, available only at L&M Radio Network. Spray the trolls away with Troll Spray!
The L&M Radio Network offers a chat room for you, the listener, to connect with others who are interested in the topics and guests that the L&M Radio Network brings to you. During the live shows, the hosts will even visit the chat room and chat with you, the listener. Click on the big red Chat and Listen button at the top of the website and join us. No subscription is needed. At either lnmradionetwork.com or latenightinthemidlands.com.
Have you ever heard of Audible? Audible is a website with hundreds of thousands of audiobooks. They're all high quality, easy to listen to, and, best of all, if you take advantage of a special deal that we've worked out for you, you can get one for free. That's right, a free audiobook of your choice in any genre simply by going to audibletrial.com/openeyes and signing up for the free trial. It's simple to do, and it would support the shows that we bring to you, and hey, you get a free book out of the whole thing. So why not take advantage of it today? Go to audibletrial.com/openeyes and sign up for the trial.
L&M fans and late nighters around the world, have you captured something on that photo or video of yours? Send in your photos and videos of ghosts, orbs, UFOs, Planet X, or just about anything content-related by submitting them to the Late Night in the Midlands Facebook group or fan page, or you can submit them on Twitter using hashtag L&M Radio. And if you would rather stay anonymous, then email them to us at mv@latenightinthemidlands.com. We will share them at our new fan page on the L&M website and may even ask you to come on air a few minutes and tell us about your photo or video. Late Night in the Midlands, we're building a bridge to the truth and beyond.
The truth is, a moral compass can only point you in the right direction, can't make you go there. Our culture preaches that you shouldn't be ashamed of anything you do anymore. And unfortunately, this city is built on the principle that there's no such thing as guilt. Do whatever you want. We won't tell. So without a conscience, there's nothing to stop you from killing someone. And evidently, you don't even have to feel bad about it.
Was a highwayman along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive. I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around and around and around and around. Fly a starship across the universe divide, And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain.
You know, it really is hard when you start playing that song. It is so hard to end it. It really, really is. And I know if you just listen to the lyrics of that song, it really does tell the story. You know, every time I hear that last part where he says, "I fly a starship," I get chills all over my body. Every time I hear that, it just gets me every single time. And that is exactly what we're talking about with my friend and my guest, Athanasios Komianos. I got that down now, don't I? I got your name down. Have you ever heard that song, Nasos?
No, never.
Wow. Well, that's what it's about. You know, if you listen to the lyrics there, you know, humans apparently have thought about this, according to everything you're telling us tonight, have thought about this, wrestled with it, tried to make sense of this entire concept for millennia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What can I say?
I know. It's sort of jarring, especially to hear that song. Again, that was one of Art's favorite songs. But, you know, getting into this area of near-death experiences and then memories of past lives, you know, hearing you talk about the Wi-Fi, it made me wonder over the break, just made me think about, you know, does somehow the previous signal get through? Is that why people start to remember glimpses, flashes from past lives?
Yeah, in some cases, there are cracks in consciousness. There are cracks in the boundaries of consciousness because, let's say that the soul is actually tuning in with a specific body, and it's residing in this specific body, but it's still energy, so it still interacts with other energies. Sometimes there are cracks in these boundaries, and then you can leak actually into time and let information come in, let images come in. And that happens very often. It's a rare phenomenon. But it happens with children. Probably the most important study that has been done the last 50 years by the Department of Perceptual Studies in Virginia is the study of children who remember past lives. We have more than 2,500 cases where kids, when they start to talk at around the age of 2, 2.5, they describe them remembering another body and being in another body and having another life. And they describe that in such with such details that some people creep up and they start looking for this, you know, and they start studying this. And they, after significant study, they find indeed that what the kid is talking about is totally true. Actually, 80% of the statements made by these little kids is accurate. And 20% cannot be verified. It is very rare that their statements are not accurate. And these children behave very strangely. They don't behave like other children who are, you know, their age. They have a peculiar behavior. They have phobias. They have philias. They have For instance, let's say that they had been killed by a truck. Then they are afraid of trucks.
Mm-hmm.
If they were killed by a weapon, they're afraid of weapons. If they were killed by a bomb, they are afraid of bombs, and so on. If they were drowned, they're afraid of water. And their parents have a great difficulty to make them adjust in their reality. So imagine having all these children now in all parts of the planet. Initially, the studies were taking place in India, in Sri Lanka, in Thailand. But after a while, they expanded throughout the globe. So we have cases in Lebanon, we have cases in Turkey, we have cases in Nigeria, in South America, in Alaska. We have plenty of cases to talk about. And some of them have been so-called solved cases. Half of the cases have been solved. What does that mean? A solved case is a case that has been verified. So Nassos Komianos discovered he was Heather Wade in his former life.
There's you some karma to deal with.
So he discovered that, and whatever he said, scientists went out and searched, and they figured out and discovered that what the kid was saying was absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have cases where kids were came very close to their murders.
Oh, people, yes.
Who murdered them.
I even remember a headline from last year that mm-hmm. said, young boy remembers past life and finds his murderer.
Thanks for pointing this out. This is one of the best examples of fake news.
Oh, okay. Well, if it is fake, do tell, because I don't want to
be... Yes, it is. It's okay. A fake story
because
if you analyze the story, you will see that there is no a dead doctor said to that guy who is writing the article that back in Israel, I think it was, a boy showed where his grave was, and then the people went there and digged the grave, and then he found the weapons that he was... But nothing of this sort is true.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, this came out, the story came out from a colleague of mine, Trutz Hardo, a German regression therapist, and this is really doing a disservice on our work. We don't want fake news to come out.
No,
if the story has to undergo real scrutiny, because if you give a false story out, the mainstream comes out attacking on you, and they have all the right to do so.
Right, and then the entire phenomenon then gets discredited, which is really unfortunate, because I know there must be verified cases that we can look at and not be distracted by something that somebody made up. So I'm glad to know that. That way, next time it ever comes up, you know, I know that you've looked at it and the case is fake. But boy, that does not do us any favors at all.
It is you really have to have a good filter on all this information on the internet. You know, you really have to go through the real work where mm-hmm. it is done and the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very unfortunate that happened, and I don't know why it took so much in publicity all over the world. You know, it was it almost made headlines.
It was because of the
only
headlines.
If you read this through the story now, if you Google it, you mm-hmm. will find it immediately. And if you read through the story, you will see that the evidence is missing. A person who said that, but now he's dead. There is no one to go to refer to. and no names, no dates, you know, the when, how, what of journalism is missing. The basic things. What happened, when, where, and how.
The five W's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you must have some verified cases then that we could discuss. But that's good to let everybody know about that. That is really unfortunate that people do that. Well, we deal with this in the paranormal, not so serious. People, you know, this term fake news has come out in the last, I don't know, year and a half, year, what have you. And for us in the paranormal, you know, this is nothing new to us. We've had to verify and triple verify and call the person, call the witness, and do all this kind of work since Roswell. It's never changed for us.
Yes, yes. So please keep that in mind always. For instance, now you said maybe you could go into cases. Yes, I could go into cases. I would strongly suggest to you to contact, I think his name is Bruce Leininger.
Okay.
This guy is an American. This case is very strong. Of reincarnation, and probably you have heard of that. Maybe you have seen that in small documentaries on ABC. And that's a kid that when he was born, he was crying all the time and he had nightmares. And his mother was trying to cuddle him and put him to sleep, but it was impossible. And when he started speaking, he said that he was in an airplane and he was under fire. And he was dying. And he kept on saying things and little details. It seemed that this troubled child was really suffering. So the mother of the child searched on the internet and found Carl Baumann. Carl Baumann is a colleague of mine, a regression therapist, somewhere in America. I don't know in which state she is now. And she had written an excellent book on children who remember previous lives. And she studied under Roger Wulger, as I did. We had the same mentor. And she had a child who was born with a wound, an open wound, and it wouldn't close, and the boy was suffering, and they would have to change and clean up the thing. And when he started talking, he said that he fought in the Civil War, and he was killed there. And the mother started searching all these things, and that's why she became a good therapist, because she actually found a way to make her child adjust to reality. So going back to the Leininger story, this lady, the mother of the child, of the pilot, found her book, read it, and called her up. And when she called her up, she told her, just let the child ventilate. Let him tell the story. Never discourage the boy, or and ask him always to tell what he sees, what he feels. Let him do that. So she started taking notes. Whatever the kid was saying, she was taking notes. And the notes were very specific. So specific that his father started searching and discovering that the kid was actually talking about a true story. When the mother asked him, what were you flying? He said, a Corsair. Where did you fly from? I was flying from Natoma. Natoma was an aircraft carrier in the Second World War. But his father said, wait a minute, Natoma, it sounds Japanese. We don't have such a ship. You're making up things. And then he discovered that indeed there was an American warship called Natoma Bay, and that indeed it had airplanes flying, attacking the Japanese. So he started looking into the story. And the amazing thing about this man was that he was such a fanatic Christian that he would not accept in any way that his child is reincarnated. He wouldn't accept that no matter what. And he was very, very, very skeptical of this. So he kept on studying, and whatever he studied, he printed out. So when you print out an article, you know, the date is right there on the top of the page. So all his search, as was unfolding, comes up to a huge pack of paperwork, which resembles a book of 500 pages. What we have here is a white crow. This gentleman discovered indeed the life of a former pilot of the U.S. Navy, James Houston. His name was James Houston. And he was killed when he was 21 by the Japanese. And even the Japanese TV came in, and they went to the place in Iwo Jima where the airplane crashed. I strongly suggest to invite the father who did all the research. He wrote a book, a very nice book. I don't remember the name now, about the case, but I can send it to you later on.
Oh, I would love that. Just the title of the book, yes, and then we can try and track him down, get him on the program.
Yes, yeah, because you see, it's such a, you know, according to the University of Virginia, to the Department of Personality Studies, this is the strongest case ever the book is called Soul Survivor.
Ah, okay, all right. Let me write that down. I'm just curious, the wound that the young boy had, does that correspond
that is
with...
concerning the other lady, Carol Baumann's
son. Oh, yes, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an open wound. Yes, indeed. Now you came to the point. There are people, there are kids that are born with birthmarks, birth defects, or even open wounds, which are impossible to explain. Okay? So we do have a lot of people who... have been born that way. And actually, the most intriguing evidence we have is out of these 2,500 cases, 225 of them have birthmarks and birth defects. In some cases, feet are missing, hands are missing, fingers are missing, ears are missing. All kinds of things are missing. Penises are missing when they are born. And science has really no answer to why people are born with birthmarks. For 60% of the birthmarks, they have no physical explanation. So what's happening here? We are not talking about just port wine stain, as they are called. We are not just talking about stains. Some of the birthmarks, dear Heather, are really very, very specific. They are extremely specific to the extent that we are shocked by that. So it would be amazing to describe to you that people have been born with axe wounds, with earring holes, gunshot wounds where there have a point of entry and a point of exit.
Wow.
And you know, A point of entry is usually very small, like
yes.
a bullet.
Oh, yes.
But point of exit is far bigger, at least 20, 30 times bigger. And you know what? In 18 cases of the 225 that we are talking about, there was, verification, because they had the autopsy of the former dead person.
Oh, my.
And they knew exactly where the wounds were. And they had the pictures of the newborn in front of them. And it was as if you were putting a picture over another.
That's incredible. I mean, this is real evidence here. This is a real set of evidence that when you put that in front of a doctor, you'd say, okay, explain this to me. Give me the logical
explanation
according to the laws of physics and science that we all know and understand. And I don't think you can explain this unless you kind of get a little outside of what we know as far as tangible reality. I mean, we've got to step outside of that a little bit and start stepping into a little bit of spirituality in order to understand this. And here we are. We're already at another breakpoint, Nassos. I told you this night was just going to fly by here. But again, we've hit a very interesting part of the conversation here that we can get more into when we come back, because I think if I understand your technique, you focus on the birthmark to take a person back into their past lives. And if I have that wrong, we can certainly talk about that when we come back from the break. But again, how do we explain this? This is real evidence. Now, those who don't believe always ask for evidence, right? Well, here you go. How do you explain a newborn with the same wound as the previous life, and when that newborn gets to about 3, 4, 5 years old, will tell you exactly what happened to them in the previous life? If you have an explanation for that, well, the phone lines will be open a little bit later on in the evening, and I would sure love to hear what's on your mind. I'm Heather Wade, and Nassos Komianos is here tonight. We're talking about reincarnation. We'll be right back.
Franklin said, if you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today. Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change. You may be suffering from OMS, Open Mind Syndrome. This disorder can be a burden on those suffering from it, as they see the insanity in the world around them. Symptoms of this disorder are likely to be not accepting the status quo, talking frequently about issues that are really important, studying things that are not acceptable by the mainstream thinking, and asking too many questions. This disease can spread rapidly, even over the internet and airwaves. It is becoming an epidemic. If you or someone you know suffers from open mind syndrome, do not seek help. It is apparent that this condition is actually the normal human response to information. In fact, it is best to interact often with fellow sufferers at latenightinthemidlands.com to remain open-minded. Open Mind Syndrome,
It's no joke.
Welcome back, friend. I knew this day would come.
Join Papa Bear every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on L&M Radio Network for What's Out There. Get the latest news and the best information. Join Ryan Gable every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for The Secret Teachings. Great information from a great host cutting through the esoteric into the truth.
And what does the California United Forces even mean?
It means the last 2 weeks it took us to cross the Pacific, they dismantled the entire military.
That doesn't seem possible.
It's actually textbook, Captain. When you want to take down a government from the inside, there's a pretty standard formula. First, you put the leadership in a position where they have to make immensely unpopular decisions.
Ration cards, bank closures.
And you start a few riots, force the president to put them down, and broadcast the violence. Finally, you manufacture a crisis.
Like an assassination or a hostage situation.
Or both.
In the meantime, you're presenting an alternative leadership through the media.
Regional leaders.
Oh my God.
From the author of Silent Steps and Haunted, Finding an Explanation for the Unknown, comes a story so chilling it will haunt you for years to come. Krista is a young woman escaping her past, running away from her family, her traumas, and her God, hoping to find a new life in a different town. But when she is forced to make a horrible choice, she comes to realize malevolent entities have controlled the true darkness she has been a part of. That is when her real terror begins. Penitence is disturbing and evocative. It will tear down the walls between what is real and what is nightmare. Penitence is the new novel by the man called the new master of speculative fiction, Ira Robinson. Find it and all of his books at his website, originalworlds.com.
Gotta love the sound of Thelma Houston in the middle of the night. I sure do. And, you know, I'm really enjoying this tonight. You know, here we are right at the midpoint of our program. And I already know I'm not gonna want this night to end. I'm really not. Nassos Komianos is here. We're talking about reincarnation, the reality of reincarnation. And, you know, without liners, I seem to keep forgetting this. Let me go ahead and give you the phone numbers, because we will open up the phone lines here. Oh, I guess in about a half an hour or an hour. And I am going to want to hear from all of you out there. So, the public number, if you'd like to call the show, if you'd like to be a part of this here tonight, I'm sure you're listening out there and nodding, and you're probably thinking of your own regressions, your own stories. Well, we want to hear them a little bit later on in the show, so the number is 952-225-5278. And you can call our first-time caller line, which is 575-208-7787. And let's get back to Nasos Komianos. Welcome back to the program. And I love Hello. This idea of birthmarks, because, again, there's no explanation, really, for what I call evidence. I mean, I call these birthmarks, the wounds that children are born with, all these different signs, if you will, are, in my mind, evidence.
Precisely. As I told you, they are not traditional, typical birthmarks. A typical birthmark might be nevi, salmon patches, port wine stains, macules. They are the standard. But there are others that are extremely different. For instance, we have rope marks. We have snake bite wounds. We have birthmarks that look like burns, or surgical incisions from a former incarnation, or spilled medicine or blood on the body. We have tattoos coming out in the next incarnation. It's amazing the variety of birthmarks that exist in these studies. So how can you account for those? It's a big story. But the point is that this is what makes, when you use hard science, it is very good, because in that way you force people to open their minds. Mm-hmm. Professor Ian Stevenson was the head of the Department of Psychiatry back in the University of Virginia, and he published in 20 years ago a magnus opus, 2,300 pages of work on this. And his work was called Reincarnation and Biology. So in other words, where does all this evidence lead? It's a fascinating book. Of course, it's huge. It's extremely expensive because it is out of print now, and you can only buy it on demand. And but you know what? Mainstream science just simply rejected it.
The entire work?
Yeah, they just ignored it. Oh, okay, so what?
Huh. Wow.
They kept on going on their own way. But this gentleman, he did such a great job in showing to the world, to the scientific community, how important is this subject. And of course, some people got into the story and they still are really interested. It's amazing that the main person who actually supported his studies and supported economically, I speak. He was he donated money to the university at the time in 1960, $1 million in 1960. It might be like $50 million today,
mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
Yes.
And the person who actually gave the money at the time was Chester Carlson. Chester Carlson is the guy who invented xerography.
What is that?
The copy.
Oh.
He's the Xerox man. The man who built the Xerox company.
Got you. Okay.
Xerography comes from Xerox. Xerox comes from xerography. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was rejected by every single university in the United States that his device is totally useless to the world, and there is no way that they could use it up for tens of years. for dozens of years, this person was knocking on the doors to try to find some money to build his idea, his patent.
Useless, huh?
Yeah, it was useless. If you search on this, you will be shocked by the responses of heads of university departments at the time, back in the 30s and 40s. Anyway, he did something great. He supported with his well-earned money this research. And we owe him a lot on this, because otherwise Ian Stevenson could have not had the opportunity to travel all around the world and collect all these cases and bring them to us. So that's sort of a tribute now to this wonderful scientist. As I was saying, they need evidence. I had a client who was regressed by me 10 years ago, and one of the scenes she saw of a former life was that she was captured by a tribe in Africa, and then she was put in a bucket a big pan to be cooked.
Oh, God. Oh.
By cannibals, you know. And she saw the whole thing, and she saw the detachment of her consciousness from the body, and she's right out there, and she's in shock because her body is burning and whatever, and she sees herself down there, and then the people start eating her, and she has no problem with this. But there is one particular guy who took one of her ribs, and he was so mean with her rib that she started knocking it on a rock, breaking it up, and eating it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a shock to her, and she came out of hypnosis. And anyone of your listeners now could say, oh, come on, this is fantasy, man. Who is eating men and women? And this is just absurd. This is not true. This is, yeah, you could say that. But that girl, that lady, when she was born, she had a deformed rib, the very specific rib. She had osteophytes. Osteophytes is a medical term which explains that when bones have things coming out from them, and they are very painful, and they are distorted.
Oh, that's what like a bone spur, something like that.
Bravo, like a bone spur.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We have an X-ray from when she was 1 year old that proves that this girl was born that way, because we have the testimony of her doctor at the time, her parents, and also the X-ray from that time. So now, what do they have to say about birthmarks and birth defects? This is evidence. Now, that story may become real. Now it can be accepted, and it's not only fantasy.
Mm.
Of course, there are cases where we have fantasy. Of course, there are. But there are some cases that they are not fantasy, and there is a true tuning in into a story.
My God. Well, you know, I listen to a lot of strange paranormal stories, encounters with strange beings, out-of-body experiences, you name it. So many different kinds of experiences. And as you were talking about fake news earlier, you kind of have to get a sense, especially when you're listening to a person's voice. It's a lot easier than just reading an article and trying to figure out from an article, you know, is this real or not?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
what I often look for, Nassos, are details. Details that only a person going through something at the time would remember. Like, was it hot that day? What were you wearing? When you told the story about this young lady's recollection, you know, the detail of the man with her rib, You know, that's interesting detail. That's not something that somebody making something up is going to be really creative enough to come up with. And the great detail in it, in that she saw this man take her rib and he's beating it on a rock, probably to get the marrow inside. To eat this rib, and it made her mad. You know, that's a little detail there. If you're making it up, you're not going to add. Well, it really made me angry that this guy was doing this to my rib. I didn't mind everybody else, but, you know, did he have to do that? And then couple that with the physical evidence of a one-year-old's x-ray. And again, very strong case, in my opinion, if you couple it with the regression. I bet I would have paid good money to see the look on your face at that moment, Nassos.
Thank God the camera was facing the lady and not myself. I was shocked. You know,
I bet.
It was amazing.
I bet. And I bet there's more detail than that in the actual session. But I mean, I don't want to do anything to reveal her identity or anything like that. But wow, I mean, that is one interesting case.
Yep. And, of course, you know, there are many, many interesting cases in the world literature. And if your listeners could ever have access, probably, you know, they could go to their local library, in the community library at their homes, look for the work of Ian Stevenson there and that magnus opus of him, you know, the Reincarnation and Biology. They will see pictures of people and they will understand the theory behind how an impression is imposed on a fetus. Because actually, let's go back to our example with a lady. She was shocked by this, okay? So now she's shocked. She has an impression in her mind, in her consciousness, of that mean guy who is eating her rib, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now time comes where she's about to incarnate, but that image is very strong. And what does that image do? It imposes on the embryo, which is now forming within the womb, the specific image. And what happens? Here's what we say, mind over matter. It imposes that image on the body.
Incredible. Just incredible. As the embryo is developing.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
And that's, you know, in former, the older medical doctors used to call that maternal impression. In other words, if a mother was exposed into something which was a stimulus which was really strong, it could affect the fetus. And we have many, many cases of such incidents. I will tell you about a lady who was born with congenital malformations from what? From cursing, okay?
From cursing,
now,
okay.
Yeah, from cursing. So we have a 16-year-old girl. She became illegitimately pregnant and was cursed by her mother at the early stages of pregnancy to give birth to a child without arms, without legs, and blind.
Oh.
That happened in 1960 in Australia, okay? And it was published in a medical journal. And we have the x-rays of this, okay?
Okay.
So what happened then? The stress on the baby's mother was the only identifiable causative factor. The baby was born without legs, without the right hand, and only part of the left hand, and it was born blind. And thank God he died.
Gosh, would have been just a very challenging life.
A maternal impression. In other words, my mother is cursing me for something. This curse becomes an image in my mind. Oh my God, how would it be if my child was born out without feet and without hands and without, you know, it makes a terrible image, a terrifying image. And that young girl, who's only 16 years old and she doesn't know really what is happening to her, is affecting with her mental impression her fetus.
My God.
This fetus, and I have the pictures, I have the x-ray. If you want it, I can send it to you. You know, if you want proof, here it is. I mean, I'm not joking. This is not joking. We have another case in Sri Lanka in 1982. The father of the child, along with his brother, killed a man by chopping off his hands in 1974. They killed a guy, and they chopped with the big knives that they have down there for the jungles his arms.
Oh, you mean with a machete?
Excuse me?
With a machete, probably.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So the mother of the victim cursed them. For killing my son, you will have a defective child. So now, the wife of the killer gave birth to a very healthy girl in 1978. So everything was forgotten. But in 1982, a boy was born and it had no hands on it. We have the picture. Mm-hmm. Now, you can imagine that what we are saying, mind over matter, is a real thing.
It all circles back.
The thing is to be suggestible, to be open, and then, or maybe afraid. And if you are quite suggestible, and if you make a mental image, that mental image can be acted out. Of course, in New Age movement, what you do is actually you want to act out, you know, the good things and how prosperous you will become and how successful you will be. And that's fine. But look what happens when you do it not in such a positive manner, but in a negative manner.
Right. Well, and I don't know if this is true because, again, there's no way to measure the consciousness. But it is said by this New Age crowd that a negative thought is so much more powerful than a positive thought.
And I don't know, again,
if this is true, but they say a negative thought is as powerful as, say, 100 or even 1,000 positive thoughts. You know, you need that many positive thoughts to overcome the negativity. So, you know, if there's more power in the negative, that is a frightening thought all in itself, then we need to be very careful, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. So I just wanted to mention this to give you some examples. You cannot, you know, do justice to a research that lasted for 50 years by just pointing out one or two examples.
Mm-hmm.
But there are hundreds of examples out there, very shocking actually, that point to this direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there is evidence to suggest that consciousness can affect matter. It can affect the body.
You know,
it can change the body.
Yes, and that is a profound thing. I mean, when we open up the phone lines here in a bit, I really want the reaction of the audience to that that you have just described, you know, that consciousness can affect matter to such a great degree that it can affect a developing embryo. I mean, that is a serious thing that we all should really think about. And if that's going on, what else are our minds doing, Nasos, that we don't realize? What are we affecting in our world with our minds that we don't even know about?
Exactly. What do we?
Hmm.
We know cases of near-death guys who died momentarily, and they could hear the thoughts of bystanding people in outside the emergency room. They could hear what the people were thinking aloud, as if they were speaking out aloud. So you can imagine now that while you're sitting there in the desert and you think you are all alone with the stars, you are actually not alone at all. A lot of entities surround you, mostly any kind of entity, not only humans, and they listen to your thoughts right now. They listen to your energy. They can sense what you are thinking of. There are no private moments, my dear.
Apparently
in this world.
Not. Apparently not. And
we are under the illusion that we are in our bed with our lover and we are alone. No, you're not alone. All these children that want to get born are actually following you, and they anticipate the very moment that they will jump in the womb and come into life. We are never alone.
This is another very profound thought to think about. I mean, people often say, well, if reincarnation is real, you know, there must be so many souls out there. We've already got 7 billion working on 8 billion as a population of planet Earth. And, you know, where are all these souls coming from? Not all of them can be reincarnated. Well, think about the history of the Earth. How many souls have come and gone in the whole history of the Earth? It does not surprise me that we've had a population explosion, because there must be so many souls just waiting to reincarnate, and there must also be, if everything we've talked about since you've joined us here is true, then there must be new souls just waiting, don't you think, to come through?
Yep, absolutely.
Wow. I mean, it tells us so much. I mean, Nassos, look, the grocery shopping, the bills, the house cleaning, the work that needs to be done, all of these things are very, very important, but we don't put enough care and attention on the soul, not nearly enough. We don't think about it enough, and we don't quite understand all of it. And this conversation tonight, you've brought some excellent research together, and again, I really don't enjoy taking our breaks tonight. I want to just keep talking with you, but we'll take us a break. And when we come back, of course, a whole lot more with Nassos Komianos. And it will be time to open up the phone line. So if you really want to get on the air, get in now and hold on the line. I'm Heather Wade, and I'm waiting to take your call on this fascinating subject tonight of reincarnation.
You go strolling through the crowd like Pizza Laura. She comes out of the sun in a silk dress, running like a watercolor in the rain. Don't bother asking for an explanation, she'll just tell you that she came in the ear of the cat.
What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with orange tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Obi, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that. I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape!
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul!
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
The law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. And together, maybe we won't stumble and fall.
I think the greatest creation of villainous creation of the entire Star Trek saga is the Borg.
Your culture will adapt to service ours.
Impossible. My culture is based on freedom and self-determination.
Freedom is irrelevant. Self-determination is irrelevant.
Assimilating everyone, not allowing for individuality, it's something we're facing big time right now. Can't you be like me? And if you can't, I don't want you to exist.
You can listen to the LNM Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through the Paranormal Radio app. Available from LNMRadioNetwork.com or TalkStreamLive.com on both Android and Apple. Our call to listen line is open 24/7. Dial 701-719-9704 so you can listen on the go.
LNM Radio Network, shining the light of truth, 24 hours a day.
Why subscribe to Late Night in the Midlands, you ask? Well, I'll tell you why. Late Night in the Midlands covers everything, and through the thousands of expert guests who have joined Michael Vera on his show, come pieces of the big puzzle, which started many years ago. Michael and his guests reveal information dating back to the beginning of time. To this very moment, Michael Vera not only brings you the best guests with the best information, but Michael is not afraid to call out those who are less than honest. You see, in this day and age, we need a radio show we can count on and a radio host we can trust to expose the truth one show at a time. So, become a late nighter and subscribe now. Talk radio like no other. Late Night in the Midlands, bringing the truth back to talk radio.
Now that the phone lines are open, I would love to ask you, so is any of this making sense to you out there? Do you have memories that come through that seem like they must be from another time, from another life? Do you have a child that, well, tells you strange things that are just out of place, that aren't quite right? What do you think about all of this? You know, they say that even through our dreams, we can find out about past lives that we have lived. Well, I would love to know from you. Call up the program and let me know, do you have any of these experiences? Do you think that this is a real phenomenon? I certainly do. And I would like to remind everybody of the numbers that you can call to join the program. The first number being the number anybody can call. That's 952-225-5278. Also, if you're a first-time caller, you can call 575-208-7787. And if you are in North America and you prefer to call us on Skype, you can do that by calling MITD11 on Skype, and that is for all of North America, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And if you're anywhere else in the world, you can call us on MITD21. That is our international Skype line, and I really do want to hear from you tonight. I would like to encourage everybody out there to take the opportunity to ask your question. If you have a question about past life regressions, past lives in general, and reincarnation, and how any of this ties into consciousness, which is becoming the hottest topic of study lately, well, I encourage you to take the opportunity to call in and speak with my friend here, Nassos Komianos. You can go ahead and call him Nassos. His name, Athanasios, took me some work, I gotta say, to get that to roll off the tongue. And so welcome back, Nassos. I really appreciate this. This is good stuff tonight. You really did bring some goods for us tonight. And I do see the phone there starting to stack up with some calls.
Great.
Yes, yes.
Do you have any girlfriends who are mothers to multiple children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Okay. Did they tell you, for instance, that they have a craving for a particular thing that they really do not like at the time?
Yes. Oh, gosh. I've heard this from a lot of friends. Yes.
Yeah. Have they ever noticed the difference between one child and the other child?
Mm-hmm. Oh, usually, yes.
Okay. Now, who is craving? Is it the mother or the child?
You know, that's interesting. And just a funny aside, I know that when my mom was pregnant with me, she craved Fruit Loops, the cereal Fruit Loops. So I guess that was a clue as to what was coming. Oh, my,
exactly.
My, my.
So yeah. It is the embryo that is asking for something peculiar and very specific. It's forcing the mother to take this in because it's craving for this. You got my point?
Yes.
And actually, we have cases where we found that personality in the former life indeed craved for the specific Indian food that he liked.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And it'll usually
and
be...
that was a taboo for the caste he was born into. You know, in India,
yes.
there are castes.
Yes,
and
they still... yes.
It's a very rigid system. There is no social mobility. It's impossible to move from one caste to the other.
Yes.
And each caste has different foods preferences.
Mm-hmm.
So for some of the higher castes, what the lower castes eat is taboo for them.
I see. Okay.
But when the mother of a higher caste is craving for something like this from the other castes, that's a very good piece of evidence that suggests that this child is coming from a lower caste born to the mother. Okay.
Isn't that funny? So probably cravings for more simple foods,
yeah.
That sort of a thing. All right. And that's interesting because, you know, in India, they do still abide by the caste system. And, well, to them, reincarnation is just accepted, as accepted as a part of life. It's as normal as anything else to them.
Yes, but the view of reincarnation is so distorted and so abused in such a way as to have the most unequal social stratification system in the world.
Mm.
You know, the oppression of the lower castes by the higher caste is unbelievable, and the discrepancy in wealth distribution and income distribution is unbelievable. It's probably, you know, it's... the most extreme probably in the world. I know that there is extreme poverty also in South America and in other parts of the world, but this discrepancy you see in India, I think, surpasses anything you can.
Well, it's just that they, you know, if you're born in one of the very low castes, like, say, I don't know everything. I'm not an expert in this, but I do know there's a low caste in India, and they kind of tend to the bodies. They tend to funerals, and they tend to the cremation of the bodies at funerals. And these people, you're not allowed to touch them, interact with them, and they are sort of stuck in this strata of society their entire lives. You can't grow. You can't... you know, work hard and get somewhere in your life. That's where you're at.
Exactly. It is as if you are doomed to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I was in India, and what I discovered, I had been there before, and what I have discovered is that the you see a lot of Muslim people now in India with burqas and such things.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The untouchables, this lower caste, mm-hmm. has no chance of surviving or moving or changing. So what do? They just go away to Muslim. There, you know, they find that as a medicine for them because they can escape. And that's why you will, if you go to India, you will see now a huge rise in Muslim religion because of this.
Because they're looking for just anything that will give them a way out. Yes. No.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, that's human nature. Why stay in a situation that really these untouchables in the lowest caste in India, they've got an incredibly hard life that most of us can't even conceptualize what their daily life is like.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So, going back to... So, you see, it's very important here to point out that a belief in reincarnation has nothing to do with a scientific study of reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are some, I guess, cultures that can abuse the concept of reincarnation. I mean, just last year, I did some shows about Scientology, and I discovered that Scientology greatly abuses this concept of reincarnation because to them, they'll say, well, 2 points, really. They'll tell children, look, you're not a child. You're just an adult in a little body. And I think that's a big mistake. Children need to be nurtured and raised and not just automatically treated like adults. But their other mm-hmm. belief that sort of colors all of their beliefs and how they treat everyone and how they conduct themselves in life is that, look, you're going to be reincarnated. You're going to be reincarnated for the next 10,000 plus years. These are their beliefs, not mine. And so this life really doesn't matter. You need to work, and of course bring Scientology to the whole world. But that to them is the most important thing, that this life just really doesn't matter. You're going to get another one. And I don't like that idea, Nassos, because I don't think that life in any case is disposable. It isn't. Even this life.
No, it is not. Of course it's not.
Even if you are reincarnated in your next life, that doesn't make Nassos Komianos any less important in this moment right now.
Of course not.
I don't think.
And that should not be used as an alibi by accept things as they are and don't fight for your betterment in this life because you're going to be born again. No, that should never be used as an alibi to accept oppression, suppression of free thought, none of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We live here and now. That's the important thing. Now, of course, we study that we have been here before and that we will be coming back. That is study. But we live in the here and now. When lunchtime comes, I have to go eat and then I have to go make money. You know, things have to be done. You have to live here. You have to...
Yes. And we need to make the most of the time that we have. I mean, we really, truly do. Because even if I'm reincarnated in my next life, you know, how much of this am I really going to remember? Maybe a flash. Maybe when I'm born in the next life, I'll hear a radio and I'll hear talk radio and I'll say, wow, gosh, that's just fascinating, you know. But will I really remember? We don't know. There are no guarantees. And this moment is what we have.
Exactly. And you know, you brought up the memory thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with memory because the people who criticize what we have been talking now, they say, okay, millions of kids are born every day throughout the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Why we only have 2,500 cases? they sound a lot, but actually they're a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of all these births that take place yearly. So, of course, they are right. People are not meant to remember their former lives. That's not the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is, when you get born, to really forget when you come down. And you know what? Plato, 2,500 years ago, wrote very extensively on this, on forgetfulness, on memory, and how this is taking place, and how the soul is meant to forget when it comes down. Everything has been written down very clearly, very nicely, 2,500 years ago. It's a joy to read. Believe me. And it is very, very close to what we discover, scientifically speaking, right now. You know that the first near-death experience ever recorded was in Plato's Republic, the book, his most famous book, The Republic, the last chapter, the 10th chapter. It's the near-death experience of Ear, who was a soldier. And when they went to cremate the corpses, they realized that this corpse was not so, corrupted. It was not, how do you say the word in English?
Decomposed?
Decomposed. And they threw him on the fire, and then he woke up and he started talking about what he saw and all this. And it's all written there.
My God.
In the Republic. One of the most fascinating near-death experiences ever recorded. Now, why I'm saying this is that we go back and forth between science and tradition and philosophy. But that's what we are here for. We are here to bring in questions in order to understand things. So memory is what connects us. You know, Zeus slept with Lady Memory, Mnemosyne in Greek, and she gave birth to the nine muses. Every night, a consecutive night, he was sleeping with Memory, and she was giving birth to another lady. And the nine muses, which are the mothers of inspiration, were born out of this lovemaking. And what are the muses? The goddesses of inspiration. What is inspiration? The spirit within myself.
Mm.
Huh?
It also
I
comes...
allow the spirit mm-hmm. to come in. So what do we do as humans? When we have a moment of inspiration, we allow the God to come within us
mm-hmm.
and express itself in this world. So when we open our antennas, when we open our consciousness, we allow download from higher realms to come down and give us material. And now, coming to past life regression, some people deliberately may want to tune in, but to regress to the cause of their problem. If they do have a problem and they cannot solve it in any other way,
mm-hmm.
then they can resort to what we call today regression therapy. Mm-hmm. Other in America, it used to be past life therapy, but in Europe, they mostly call it regression therapy. More or less, there are some distinctions there, but that's what it is, actually. So when you ask a person, go to your source of your problem, they might tune in into what looks like a former life. And you notice how cautious I am. I'm not saying it is a former life. I'm saying what looks like that it might be a former life.
I see.
So we are not sure. When we have a regression, we are not sure where that person is and what he sees. But when he brings back evidence, when she brings back experiences that can be written down and nailed down, then maybe we can have a verification. And that's what when we have a verification, then that person who doubts about his own images, then he's convinced or she's convinced that this is a true story and not a fantasy.
Well, many times during these kind of regressions, doesn't it sometimes resolve the person's issue? I mean, I've heard these stories many times.
Yeah. Actually, you know, in many cases in my practice, people resolve their issue in one session only. And, of course, a session may last three and a half hours, 4 hours. But they resolve the issue. Mm. It's finished for them. Especially when it's very obvious, very like a phobia or, you know, the more profound problem is, the easier it goes.
Huh, that's interesting.
It's extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a regressionist telling me a story about a man who, you know, he was a professional and he had to wear a suit to work. And he just had the hardest time. He could not bear wearing a tie that goes around the neck. He just couldn't mm-hmm. handle it. And then when he was regressed, of course, we found out that he had in a previous life, or at least the images that came when he went into his problem, went into his phobia, revealed to him that he was hung in a previous life. And then it started to make sense, and then the regressionist helped him work through that problem, and he was able to then wear a necktie to his very professional job, and it solved his problem.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
It is that simple. And now, with talk therapy, where would you reach? With a tie. If you went to psychotherapy and you said, I cannot wear my tie. With cognitive therapy, how would you solve this problem?
They would force it, is what they would do. They would.
But that's not the solution. You know, it's not saying you wear it and you get acquainted with this and every day it will be easier and easier for you to do it. It might work, but most certainly it won't work. While with one session of regression therapy, you can solve this. I'm not saying that everything is solved in one session.
Right, right,
of course. Don't misunderstand me, of course.
Yes.
But half of the cases are solved that way.
Wow.
Radically speaking. If the person has the ability, of course, to tune in to the roots of his problem. Not everybody has that ability, you know. Some people don't open no matter what you do. They just stay closed as if they are oysters. They don't open. Okay. But the people who open have stand a big chance to solve their problem.
Hmm. Well, let's, speaking of people, jump into the phone lines. I've got a phone full of folks here that want to speak with you. And we've got another break here creeping up on us. So let me jump in here. And I'm sure this is just going to add to more of the fascinating conversation that we're already having. I'm really curious to hear the reaction of people out there. Of course, I already know, you know, if I had 3 more hours to broadcast, of course, it would torture you. But we could talk about this for many more hours. I know there's so many aspects of it to discuss, but on the phone, you are on the air with Nasos Komianos. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Kobe from the North Woods.
From the North Woods now. Well, welcome to the show.
quick bit of advice before I get into things. If a large tree greets you as old friend, it probably knew you in another life.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll certainly talk about that. Did you have a comment, a story, a question for Nasos tonight?
I have had so many past life memories. I have had to actively take steps to block them out.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I was just getting spontaneous memories all the time. I was starting to interfere with my daily life and stuff.
Were they phobias coming up, or was it just flashes?
Actual memories. My most recent previous life, I was getting flashbacks to that. When I get flashbacks in this life, mixed in, and it's like really weird.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 50.
Excuse me?
50.
I'm 50.
50. Yeah, and, we're about the same age. But when did you have these memories leaking in? At what age do you remember? The first time you remember this thing coming in, when was that?
I think it was, I was like in the seventh grade in school.
So you actually started remembering things when all other kids are stopping remembering. So you are of the other type of people who remember later on in life. So what sort of images were they coming in?
Just one second here. Colby, can you move your phone down just a little bit? Because you're breathing in our ears there.
How's this?
Much, 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 much better. All right, proceed, proceed.
Okay, well, the most recent lifetime, I wrote down all the information that I would be able to verify on the internet, and I found reference to this person, and it was 100% accurate. Including the fact that his legal name was John and not Jonathan.
You said you have written down everything, right?
Well, I had at that point, I had written down what I remembered that I could verify on the internet so that I could, you know, do some research. Mm-hmm. And I found
had you made the printout of your research at the time, or was it only online?
It was online. I found reference to this person online, and all the verifiable information was 100% accurate.
My God.
Including his name not being the normal legal name of John, but it was legally John, not Jonathan.
Wow. Well, Colby, if you would, hang on the line for me. I mean, you know, the breaks don't exactly come at the most convenient time, but here we've got this evidence that we've been talking about, Naso. So when we come back, I'd like to go ahead and get you two back hooked up again and continue the conversation there. Also, if you're on the phone right now, do stay on the phone because I will most certainly get you on the air tonight. We've got plenty of time, so we'll be right back. Oh, I love it when we open up the phone lines. I really, really do, especially on this of all subjects. We'll be right back.
I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours.
Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Brad Olson brings you The Esoteric Circle. Excelling in information and bringing you the truth. Brothers at Arms is not about being militant, though there is a time and place where that is necessary. Brothers at Arms is not about arguing, though there are times where things may get heated. Brothers at Arms is not about who is right or wrong. There are many sides to each issue. Brothers at Arms is about exploring those sides, about dealing with the issues facing us today, about coming together and, through opposing views, understanding the deeper truths that are in the middle. Join Ira Robinson and Joe Long each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com as these Brothers at Arms discuss what you need to know. Brothers at Arms, it's about time. Even the ETs know this is the place to be. L&M Radio Network. Fear. There is always so much to fear.
so many shadows are just waiting for the moment for when we pay no attention at all. Just waiting for the moment when they can grab us and make us come undone. Fear takes, and fear gives nothing in return. But there is one gift in this life that fear is afraid of. The gift of love. Reach out for someone today. Fear nothing, for fear is nothing. Live hard.
There are actually ways to look at the paranormal realms without all the fearful stuff, and we'll do that. Not just paranormal, supernatural, psychic, metaphysical, even extraterrestrial realms. There's kindness and benevolence if you look hard enough, and we will. Join us every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for Kindness Beyond the Veil with your host, Chip Reichenfall. Great guests and no demons, I swear. We won't push you down a flight of stairs. We'll welcome you and ease your fears. Mondays, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for Kindness Beyond the Veil with Chip Reichenfall. Join us.
Dark secrets lie within the pages of Haunted, Finding an Explanation for the Unknown. Within the dark of night, subtle sounds can be heard. Unseen hands reach out to touch, stirring echoes of past nightmares and paranoia. In Haunted, Finding an Explanation for the Unknown, you will read chilling true stories of hauntings, demonic possessions, and everything that goes bump in the night, as we explore the hows and whys of haunted houses and more. Ira Robinson has not only been a man who has personally experienced the paranormal, but an investigator for many years as well, and brings his expertise to bear on this mysterious subject. What did our ancient ancestors think of the spirit world? What did they do as a response to their own paranormal experiences? Are the tools people use today to communicate with the spirit world not only appropriate, but safe to use? Can the dead return to us in some way in order to help us or harm us? You will find an answer to these questions and much more in Haunted, Finding an Explanation for the Unknown. Don't be afraid. The keys to understanding are in your hands. Find this book and all of his others at Ira Robinson's official website, originalworlds.com.
About it. If your soul comes from somewhere up there in the cloud and gets downloaded into you, and then that is the consciousness, that is the spark of life that makes you, you, well then, what exactly is the cloud? Well, Nasos Komianos is here tonight, and if you're tuning in a little bit late, well, the phone lines are open. The only line that's free at this moment is the first-time caller line. That number is 575-208-7787. But you can also try to get through in on the public line, and that number is 952-225-5278. Now, anybody can call that number. You're more than welcome to join the program. You can also join us on Skype if you have it. Just look for MITD11 if you're in North America and you'd like to call us that way. That's one way to get through. And here we are in the middle of a call. I'd like to welcome back Nasos Komianos. Welcome back. And here we are in the middle of it. right now, she said she was able to verify everything 100%, and I just didn't think we were all the way done with this call. So, Colby, in the North Woods now, you're back on the air. You know, Colby, can I ask you something about all this?
What?
What was your reaction when you started verifying this information and you started finding out that this piece of information is correct and this and this and this? What was your reaction to that?
Well, I was happy to know I wasn't crazy, you know, that this, it seemed to be real. Because like I said, I was having, you know, flashbacks to my previous lifetime mixed in with flashbacks from my current life. And it was, like, very confusing at times.
Do you hear this often, Nassos?
Well, the experience that she had is actually because some of us, you know, don't have rigid boundaries. And we allow things to sneak in. And, you know, when you don't have, you're not rigid on this, and you say this is private land, anything can go in. So she had the ability to tune in with this information. I would be glad to, if you have it written down in the whole story of how it started and how it ended, if you have it in a written document, please do not hesitate to send it in so I can read it myself. There are cases of people who do tune in spontaneously, and usually this is triggered by an event in life. It might be a traumatic event. It might be an event that it's actually working as a trigger. Not always a shocking event. It might be a pleasant event, and it immediately makes the connection into the unconscious, and you have these images from the past, and you do not know what to make of them. But then it's like a puzzle. You know, you have that set of images, and then another set comes in, and then another set comes in, and suddenly you start building up a picture. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, but that may take years to happen. Yeah. While if you had, this lady had gone to a, qualified, certified regression therapist and attempted that, she would have probably seen the story far, far back in the future, in the past, and it would, it would make sense. She wouldn't have to lose so much time.
We utilize
past life regression in order to speed up things. You know,
speed
to,
up
to,
the
to,
process.
Yeah, the process.
Right. Because I imagine all of this regression therapy, as far as getting in touch with a past life to solve maybe a present life issue, it probably all goes back to spiritual growth, right? So you want to speed up the process to get to the growth part.
Exactly.
I got you. Okay, I got you. Well, Colby, would you write down your entire story and send it to Nassos?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Where would she send it, Nassos? To your website there?
Yeah, if she enters my website, she will see the contact list, and she can contact me through that.
I would love it if you did.
I think you have posted my website on your website right now, so she can pick up the entry point from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to spell it online right now. It's a big...
Yeah, hypnoscopesis is what it is. So, Colby, just go on over to artbelllegacy.com, and when you look at the photo of Nassos in front of all those books there, just scroll down just a little bit. You'll see the link right there. And even if, you know, tomorrow we're going to be doing open lines and Nassos won't be on the front page there, but don't worry. I mean, he's on the website under guests, so that will always be there. Don't worry about that. You can hit the guest button and then go find Nasos Komianos, and then you'll find his link. So when you get it all written down, because that may take some time, I don't know, you can always find Nasos's website there on artbelllegacy.com, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I would be glad to read your story.
Yeah, well, I think it would just be an interesting, very interesting addition to the several cases that very many researchers, you know, all around the world have compiled. You know, we need more of these, I think. We need more cases. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's just all just absolutely mind-blowing because to me, this is all proof that, you know, our reality is not just what we can touch. Our reality is far more than what we can touch, what we can see, what we can perceive with our five senses is not all there is. And for some reason, that does my soul good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I don't even quite know why, but just an understanding of that, just sort of, because we sense it, maybe that's what it is. Do you ever find that you just have a gut feeling that there's more to this life than what we can see and what we can touch, Nasos?
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I my life then, in the course of my life, was that nothing is only what we see. It's something beyond that. And we always have to be open and listen to things. But of course, we always have to have a critical mind as well.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not taking this story as a certain reincarnation case unless I study it first and unless I interview the person.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if I had the chance and she was living here in Greece, I could regress here as well. Then I would start thinking that, yeah, maybe we have a case here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be really cautious on this. You know, you are working, you're walking in dark waters. Make a big news on the newspaper is not good. You know, you have to keep a low profile on this and to be very cautious on what you say and what you express, because you will easily attract the arrows of the mainstream.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you know, they can ridicule you in the split of a second if you make a mistake. They wait for your mistake there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really very cautious on this.
Oh, on yes. What this, you absolutely do. Well, it can discredit you as a researcher, and then it can discredit the entire phenomenon, which is doing us all a disservice, as you correctly said earlier. Let us go here. We'll go on back to the phone here. Mm-hmm. And you're all right. On the air. Wow, it's a lot of noise.
Sorry, you caught me messing with the powers that be.
Oh, were you? Really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're on the air now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, it's so nice to meet you all the way from Greece. It's amazing. It is hot over there. I was checking your weather. I'm Pam, and I wasn't able to be with you, Heather, on Friday night. I was with a hospice patient who was making his great escape. So,
Well, that is far
we
more
had a
important.
Great time. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll do it tomorrow night, maybe. I'm not planning to. I'm saving you. I'm saving you. I wanted to say, when I was born, I was born 3 months early. And so I stayed in an incubator for a while because you had to weigh 5 pounds before you went home. And I weighed 2, and you know, when, so when I was in the incubator, there was a sound in there in the nursery, whatever you call that place where they keep the babies. There was this humming sound, and I used to make up these tunes that went with the humming sound. Like, I knew these tunes. I didn't make them up. I knew them. I mean, I remembered them. So when I got out of the hospital, then the humming sound was gone, and I was really grossing out because I did that all the time. So then later, when I was about maybe 3, my grandmother made the mistake of leaving me in the waiting room while she went to the doctor. And she left me in there, and I started talking to everyone. you know, hi, what's your name? What do you do? And I was, this guy was asking me, what do you do? And I said, well, I talk to trees a lot. Grown-ups aren't very interesting, and they don't usually want to hear what I have to say. So I talk to trees, and he said, well, show me how you do it. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I want to hear what the language sounds like. And it turned out he was a linguist doctor. He was a doctor, you know, a doctor, a professor of some sort of in Phoenix. And so I started saying the stuff that I used to say to the trees. And he said, that's a ancient Celtic language. So, okay, that's great. I said, well, I get in trouble when I say that out loud. I can't do it at home. I get in trouble. So later, when I was in college, we were having a party, I think Christmas party or something, and we had this Ouija board, and I don't get upset, Heather. I have good relationships with Ouija boards, except that night I didn't, because whenever I put my hands on it, it would say, Druid, go away, Druid, go away,
oh.
It would say that every time, and it finally said, Druid, be gone, and they said, leave, get out of here, we don't want you in our party anymore, you're messing everything up. So I thought, well, I don't even know what a Druid is. I didn't. I hadn't really heard that word that much, and so I went and looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, now I know why I like to talk to trees so much, because I must have been a druid. But when I was thinking about that, I was thinking that it didn't end so well, because if you were a druid in the time I was a druid and they caught you doing something,
yes,
you got burned, you got set on fire, and it wasn't a pleasant way to go, of course, but you had to pretend you didn't care, like it didn't bother you. I guess what you did was get out of your body and just watch it, but you know what? That's not pleasant to watch. And then it smells like barbecue, and you're thinking, I shouldn't be thinking that. That's me cooking over there. Anyway, I was just remembering in that same doctor's office where the guy was telling me I was speaking that Celtic language, he also heard me. They had an air conditioner in there, and I was doing that thing that I did with it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you know what that is that you're doing? And I said, it's another thing I get in trouble for at home. I don't know what it is. He said, it's bagpipes. He said, do you know any words? Do you remember any words at all about where you may have done that another time, played that kind of an instrument? It's an instrument. And I was really excited about that. I thought, oh, it's an instrument. Maybe I could get one. And I said, well, I remember the word Culloden. And he said, aha, well, I'm afraid you might not have had a very good time at Culloden. Let's not go there. It was a pretty bad thing. So later, I looked up Culloden when I was able to find, you know, we had Braille encyclopedias when I got in school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to spell Culloden, so I just had to look up all through the letters until I found it. And that wasn't a very pleasant way to, my past lives weren't very pleasant, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, well, the only memory I have that it could be considered a past life memory is also not very pleasant. So, you know, I think kind of most of them are that way. I mean, we're talking about.
And it seems like they, I'd like to remember some. I remember another one where I used to dream this over and over until I finally told the story to a shaman, and I stopped dreaming it, that I was in a Navajo Indian tribe, and I was supposed to be keeping watch and then the night, because I was a night person, and I accidentally closed my eyes for a second, and when I did that, we got attacked by another tribe, and they set the village on fire, and it was all my fault, because you know, 2 or 3 seconds wouldn't have given you enough time to wake up everyone, but to me, in the dream, it seemed like if I hadn't have fallen asleep just for that tiny bit of time, I mean, maybe 2 or 3 breaths at the most, and then the next thing I knew, you know, they were just coming down the mountain really fast with their torches, and you know how things burn and when it's dry, and everyone died except me. So then I was a captive, and I'm not sure what they did after that. I didn't remember the rest of it, but I felt really bad. And I thought, wait, I would have liked to die with the rest of them. That would have been nice to go really quick instead of what happened to me. They like strapped me on a horse and dragged me off somewhere and probably made me into a slave or something. But dying isn't really so bad. I don't know why I felt so guilty about that.
Well, you're bringing up actually something very interesting with both stories here, Pam. If you will, I'd like to ask Nastos, you know, these are both traumatic deaths here.
Exactly.
Most of the ones that we've been talking about, the cases that we've all talked about, the deaths are all, you know, violent and traumatic. And so is this why they tend to come through, the, because it's a traumatic passing?
It's not only a traumatic passing, but it has not been assimilated in the diathanatic period, in the life between lives period. In that state, they should be the experience should be, you know, dissolved and assimilated and worked with.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go to that state and you remain earthbound and you linger around as a spirit because of the traumatic death, because this is what makes difference. When you have a violent death, you usually stick around and you do not go up to the light. So once you are lingering around, you have no chance of assimilation of the experience. That is why you're when you get incarnated, the memories are still fresh and alive. But usually they fade out by the age of 6 or 7. Most of the kids that remember their past lives just fade away because they start their education and their nurturing and they forget about them. That's the rule. Now, the lady here gave me an opportunity to mention one thing. She said that she likes the Ouija board, and I strongly, as I told you the other time, I'm very strongly against using Ouija boards to communicate with spirits. And there are many dangers involved in this, and I would like to point that out. I already explained in another session we had how many dangers are involved there. As for the experience that came to her with the druids, probably the linguist sensed that there might be a genuine case of xenoglossy, the ability to speak a language that is not being taught, and especially a forgotten language like the Celtic language.
Gaelic.
So, Gaelic, yeah. We call it Celtic in Greek, Gaelic, okay. Encounter with that linguist, professor, and all this dialogue must have been very interesting, scientifically speaking. If it had been recorded, the whole thing, you know, how she was humming and how she was talking to the trees. And certainly those people back then who were connected with nature knew very well how to connect and communicate, not only with the animals, but also with trees. And I now you brought, this lady brought into my mind that beautiful documentary of The Secret Life of Plants. Probably you have seen that documentary.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, with the music of Stevie Wonder as well. It's worth seeing again. Because science back then in the 70s was rediscovering how to communicate with plants again. So I would like to, I mean, if she could also wrap the story up and write it down, I would be more than happy to study it.
And again, go on over to artbelllegacy.com and you'll find Nasos Koumianos, his website link, because there may be some of you out there with very good stories that might not be able to get through on the phone lines here tonight. And if you can't get through and you've got a verifiable story or even a story that Knossos could study and investigate a little bit, and he may even get, you know, back to you and want to ask you some questions about your story if you submit it to him. I would imagine, yes, I would imagine, and so be prepared for that if you do submit a story to him. And, oh, we do have a break coming up real quick, but I bet we can get ourselves a call started, and we'll just have to wrap it up probably on the other side of the break. But on the phone, you're on the air with Knossos Komianos. Welcome to the program.
Well, permission to come aboard, Captain?
Well, certainly, sir. It sounds like you're out there driving.
Yes, by the end of the break, I should be off the road, but
okay,
I want to call in because I've had an experience myself I'd like to describe, if you guys don't mind.
No, yes, go right ahead, sure.
Okay, well, this is what happened to me. When I was about 15 years old, I went on a young man's religious camp out.
We cannot hear very well, my friend. Can you do something about the sound?
Is this any better?
Actually, it is a little bit better, yes. And I know he's going to pull over during the break, right? You're going to pull over during the break, and then maybe that would be better. Go ahead and stay on the line there, because I want to hear. I mean, he started the call with, I've got an experience, so I want to know what he has to say.
Yeah, me
but
too.
If he can pull over during the break, and when we get back, we can certainly bring him back on and get his story and his experience, and boy, do we ever have a phone full of people, and I bet behind every single one of those calls is a fascinating story, you know, just waiting to get on the air. So, and see, yes, we've already got our break here coming up. So, you know, that's the thing about this subject. I could do open lines on reincarnation, and for four straight hours, Knossos, just take call after call after call. I mean, the paranormal affects a lot of people out there, and it doesn't kind of seem like a subject that would, but it actually does. I mean, think about that consciousness. Well, we don't understand what it is, where it comes from, what, again, gives you that spark of life. And I have toyed around with this idea in the last, I don't know, 9 or 10 months, that it might be the case that simply being alive and being aware is paranormal in itself. Whether you believe in it or not, you might be having a paranormal experience just by being alive. And again, we'll be right back. Caller, hang on the line. If you can pull over there, well, we'll get your story on the other side of the break with Knossos Komianos tonight, and I'm Heather Wade.
Listen to the LNM Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through the Paranormal Radio app. Available from LNMRadioNetwork.com or TalkStreamLive.com on both Android and Apple. Our call to listen line is open 24/7. Dial 701-719-9704 so you can listen on the go.
Draw the line between protection of national security, obviously the government's need to obtain intelligence data, and the protection of civil liberties, particularly the sanctity of my home. You've got no right to come into my home.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email, listen to your phone calls, every wire, every airway. You're talking to your wife on the phone, you use the word bomb, president, Allah, any of 100 key words. The computer recognizes it, automatically records it, red flags it for analysis. That was 20 years ago.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
Tired of searching for great talk and great information? Look no more. L&M Radio Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Join Papa Bear every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on L&M Radio Network for What's Out There. Get the latest news and the best information.
When you need a reliable source for your toner, where do you turn? Laser Technologies International Incorporated, your source for quality laser printer, copier, and fax toner. We supply a frustration-free cartridge guaranteed not to harm your printer, delivering 100% of the quality at a fraction of the price. We have products for most major brands. Find us on the web at www.laser-technologies.com. Email us at service@laser-technologies.com. Call us at 561-792-9600. That's 561-792-9600. Laser Technologies. 561-792-9600. Providing excellent customer service since 1995.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
To call the program, well, 952-225-5278. That is the number to join the hottest place to be in the middle of the night, and that is my program right here coming to you from the Kingdom of Nye. Oh yes, we had to get a new name for our show. Well, we are still here. We are still taking your phone calls. We're absolutely happy to do it on this hot, warm summer night. Well, the first time caller line, if you are a brave soul out there, would like to get through, first time caller line is 575-208-7787. And I would like to welcome back my guest this evening, Nasos Koumianos. How you holding up over there? See, your day's beginning and ours is getting deep into the wee hours as we progress here. Let's see if our caller has pulled over here. I'm really curious to hear what he has to say. You're back on the air, and wow, that does sound a whole lot better. You ready to tell us what you experienced?
Yeah, sure thing. It's about 90 degrees in Phoenix, by the way. Just FYI. Anyway, when I was about 15 years old, I went on this hike with a young men's group for my church, and we were all going up the side of this hill after putting down our encampment, and I was just hiking along, and suddenly it was almost like I got a head rush, and in that moment I was two separate persons. I like what Naso says about intercepting the signal, because it's almost like I crossed my own signal. I was still myself, and yet I was another person who was with another group of men on a similar mission. And I knew it wasn't me, but it was me. It was another me. And it didn't go away right away. We continued to climb this hill, and I was a young man on a church encampment and a young man in a hunting group. And for about half an hour, I had that feeling. It was an awesome feeling. It was liberating. It was almost joyful. And then slowly it faded away, and I've never had it happen again. But no one has to convince me there's more than one life. I've been there.
Wow. God, I really thank you for pulling over, and thank you so much for hanging on the line to share that with all of us. You know, it means a lot. There's a lot of people listening to the sound of your voice right now that might be unsure, or they might feel that they can't talk about these things. And to hear all of you call in and speak about all of this so freely, you know, it does have an impact on those out there listening to you.
Well, if it helps anybody, you know. I'm just grateful to have had the experience, because I know a lot of people wander around wondering, and to know is a joy.
Yes. Oh, yes, to know and to be certain about something like that, especially. Really, thank you so much for the call. And also, what I've done is a very bad habit that I have, which is moving on to the next call without thanking the previous. Every single caller tonight, I want you to know that I'm very thankful for all of your calls. Again, Nasos, you're our expert tonight. Any response to our caller's experience there?
Well, you know, this seems to be in a category of events that of synchronization. It's a synchronicity which has to do with the context of the mission that they were under at that time, and there was a resemblance, so probably from a similar experience in another time, and this probably gave our friend the feeling of continuation that we are into this not one time, but we do it again and again and again, and probably it resembles a mystical experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy thing to explain, actually. It's just as puzzling to me as it is to you.
Yes. Oh,
and
yes,
as it is to the experiencer, of course. So not much to say, but yeah, there do exist such cases, yes.
Well, I believe that of all the experiences we can have during our lives, I think the most spiritual and profound experience we will all ever have are being born and dying.
Yep.
This is where the magic is. And in between those two events is all the magic that life is. And I really am thinking about this a lot, that if we don't know what consciousness is, and that's an entire mystery, is our life paranormal? Is life itself a supernatural thing? If we cannot define it, measure it, touch it, you know, anything in the laboratory, we can repeat it. It's a repeatable thing, sure. Babies are born every day, just like you said. But without being able to define what it is and really know what it is. I'm starting to wonder if our very existence isn't a paranormal experience. I mean, you were saying this interesting thing about the soul being downloaded into the embryo, into the fetus as it's developing. You know, how does that happen? None of us know. You know, that is magic right there. We can't explain.
There was an excellent book by three German obstetricians, gynecologists, who wrote a book about the experiences of mothers who communicated with their children before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing account of experiences. I've also seen women that come to me when they are pregnant in the very early stages, and they have communicated with her child. In one case, it was too early in the gestation, and we knew the gender of the kid that was going to be born and what the goals were and all this. It's very important for the mother to communicate with the unborn child before everything is, you know, comes to life.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
It's very revealing.
Well, actually, especially thinking about that one case, a very traumatic case that you told us where the result was not good. And so if the parent can communicate with the child in the womb, then maybe we can have a positive result as opposed to, you know, that was an incredibly tragic story. So with the time that we have left here, let me go back to the phone. We've got a caller who's been on the line for a little just over an hour, Nassos, to speak
I'm
with
sorry
you.
For this?
No, it's quite all right. I just get caught up on each call. That's my problem. So we'll go on the phone. You're on the air with Nassos Komianos. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Miss Heather. Nassos. This is Lady J.
Welcome. It's so good to hear your voice again.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I will always wait for you, Miss Heather. I don't care if it's 2-3 hours.
Well, I didn't mean to do that to you. We get to talking, and, well, it's talk radio, so we're talking.
Well, you know, I've often thought that there was a possibility that I had previous lives and whatnot because of, you know, strange proclivities and talents and interests that, you know, I can't explain. But I have another thought or concept that I hesitate to bring up because it's a little on the sort of racy side, but I think maybe it could be pertinent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Nassos is here. He can handle it.
Well, long story short, I didn't start dating women until I was in my 30s.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I dated, you know, guys in the past or before that. Well, I would have expected the same kind of, you know, curiosity and timidness and, you know, insecurity and, you know, inhibitions and all that routine. So the first time that, you know, I was with a woman, I would have thought that would have been the case like it was, you know, when I was with the first guy I was with, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But it certainly was not.
Oh.
You know, I took to it like a duck to water, if that doesn't. So I started thinking, with all the other evidences and whatnot, I started thinking maybe I was a guy in a previous life.
So it felt completely natural to you, nothing strange about it at all.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is an interesting question, a very interesting question, because oftentimes gender sort of flips and flops as far as past lives go. Interesting. Very interesting, Lady J. Do you have any past cases you can draw on? What do you make of this, Nassos?
Well, we have a lot of cases with gender confusion, whereas in the exactly previous incarnation, they were the opposite sex. And this was especially evident with soldiers who were Japanese in the Second World War, and they died in other occupying countries in the Pacific. And it seems that the Japanese are very rigid about their culture. And when they were born in female bodies, they really behaved very strangely, and they had specific appetites and specific tradition following, and they wouldn't accept their sex, that the fact that they are, for instance, they are female. They would try to dress up as male. Mm-hmm. They would behave as male. They would be dominant. They will be very upset with their parents, and they would not eat Burmese food, for instance. So they hated that food, and they thought it was too spicy for them. There are cases which are amazing. And, of course, the most amazing cases are the ones with the twins. We have two kinds of twins, the same cell and the homozygotic and the heterozygotic twins. Mm-hmm. In the case where the identical DNA of homozygotic twins, there were cases of gender change. And the interesting fact about the twins is that they have different memories. While they have identical DNA, they have different memories from past lives. So it's extremely fascinating to study this, because here, you know, you have identical DNA, you have the same parents, you are nurtured the same way, you go to the same school, you dress the same way, but you do have problems because of adjustment, because the former personalities were far too different, and sometimes of the opposite sex.
So two different downloads.
Yep.
That is so fascinating.
It is absolutely.
You would expect them to be a whole lot more similar.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, while all the science is focusing on how similar twins are, Ian Stevenson did the opposite. He emphasized on how different homozygotic twins are.
Hmm.
Amazing.
Well,
it's just, I will do injustice just, you know, to mention the cases. It's unbelievable what you can find out there.
Oh, yeah, I know. And oftentimes when I request a guest to come on the program, and they say, well, how long is this show? Well, you'll be on for about 3.5 hours. They go, oh, my God, I can't do that. And here, you know, we've only got about 12, 13, 14 minutes left, and it's just not enough time. It's not enough time. You'd think that it is, and you think, my God, I can't sit there and talk to someone that long about something. But on this, I mean, we could easily do a part two on this because it's just so amazing. And you're right. Just to mention a case really does not do it the complete justice it deserves.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wow. But, you know, transgenderism has recently also come up as a real hot button issue here in our country in the United States. And, mm-hmm. you know, doing what I do, I've never voiced my thought on this because I'm not trying to get into any trouble here. But it has crossed my mind. Is this a past life issue? Because these people are absolutely convinced, you know, the boy that wants to be a girl and the girl that wants to be a boy, and they face, you know, opposition. It's not easy for these people.
Of course not.
Yet they're so
determined.
It's a very
difficult place to be, actually. I wouldn't want to witness such a thing. It's terrible for them. They really suffer. They think they're trapped in a wrong body. But you see, I strongly, thank you for giving me this opportunity, Heather, advise all these people who have this gender dysphoria and the parents of young kids that do have it, mm-hmm. to before they do anything, before they go to the doctor for a sex operation, to first visit a qualified regression therapist.
Yes.
That therapist may really help them solve the problem and deal with it.
Yes, and get to the root of an issue.
Yeah, maybe it's solved, maybe it's not, but at mm-hmm. least they tried. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because these surgeries, dear Heather, you know very well, they are irreversible.
They are. They absolutely are. And sometimes, I mean, on a certain level, it is cosmetic. You know, I mean, it's a functional surgery as well. But, you know, with those kind of surgeries, you know, things can always go wrong in any kind of surgery you're going to have.
Yeah. It could go wrong, absolutely.
Yeah.
But even if everything goes perfect, you know, maybe some time along the line, further on in the future, you regret about the whole thing.
Yes.
What happens then?
Yes, it's a major change that a person's making. Well, you know, I like to get tattoos, and sometimes afterwards I go, gosh, why did I do that? Now I can't. I'm stuck with it. So you need to be very careful. Anything like that, that's a major, major life decision, and it couldn't hurt. I can't imagine how doing some regression therapy to see if you can't trace back to the source. You know, I don't necessarily want to call it a problem, but get to the source, and who knows? You might find something, you might not, but it couldn't hurt is my thinking on it. And yes, I'm glad that you, the
it
subject
is a
came
problem
up.
From the moment you are not satisfied in the body you are.
There you go.
It is a problem for the guy who witnesses this, mm-hmm. and he wants to become a lady, you know, because he cannot deal with his body. He hates his body, and he wants to become a lady. So then, you know, it is a problem. I'm not saying it's a social problem. I'm saying it is a problem for the person who witnesses the problem, you know, who experiences it.
Yeah.
It's not a problem in terms, I understand you are politically correct, but
not really.
I'm saying that this person is suffering, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, he can't go on living that way.
Yeah.
So he'd rather go commit suicide, for instance, instead of living in that body. So in that way, it is a problem.
Yeah. Well, it sorry, it is because, I mean, for different reasons, I think all of us have had a moment in our lives where we just feel uncomfortable in our own skin. Maybe it's a brief moment for some of us. Maybe it lasts a little longer for others, and always for a different reason. But I can't imagine the torture of feeling like, you know, there's just something fundamental not right with my life. And it goes all the way back down to my gender. I can't imagine what it must be like to wrestle with that in the mind. But no, my whole problem is that I'm not politically correct. And I've probably, I don't know, I don't get the politically correct memos like every week that I'm supposed to be getting. So I don't know what the proper terms are. I don't know how I'm supposed to be addressing it. And really, I'm not out to offend anybody or start anything.
Of course not.
It is a unique situation that made me immediately think, is this a past life issue? You know, because that, I can wrap my head around that. I can understand that. And I'd be very curious to know Lady J's call here. You know, she may be onto it. Maybe she was male in her other life, and this is why this is so
There's
natural.
There's a very, very strong possibility for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we interchange sex. We have to learn both ways. You know, we have to see both genders.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go both ways. So that's how our soul, our psyche will develop eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to go through both experiences. And we interchange. And, you know, suppose now that for 10 lives you were consecutively male and suddenly you find yourself in a female body, you will feel uncomfortable. You say, what is this?
Right, yeah. Now that
makes
sense.
Why am I here? You know, but you don't know why, but you don't remember why, but you feel something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And ask any friend of yours who is gay or lesbian or whatever, they will tell you that they are not comfortable with the other sex. And mm-hmm. that's the truth. And probably one of the reasons is this. I'm not saying it is this, you know. we can use that as an explanation as well.
Yes. Oh, well, I find the whole thing interesting. It's just interesting to me. You know, what makes a person comfortable in this life and what doesn't? And just any kind of lingering things that just don't seem to be right that are, again, I was talking about this intrinsic knowing that we have inside of us. And this is just another one of those things that a person walks around with. In my mind, it is not that much different from walking around thinking, gosh, is this really all there is? This can't be all there is. I kind of feel like there must be another part of me that I just can't see, another part of the world out there that I just can't see. Thank you very much for the call, Lady J. And, you know, I just want you to be feeling comfortable and loved in your life in whatever form that's going to come in. We can probably, I don't know, this is going to be tight here, but maybe we can squeeze in one more. On the phone, you're on the air, though we don't have a whole lot of time.
Hello, this is Christopher.
Good evening.
I want to share a story.
Sure, good evening. We don't have a whole lot of time, but go right ahead.
It'll be quick, I think. is a past life regression type dream.
Mm-hmm.
I dreamed I was like in a castle.
Mm-hmm.
It had a swimming pool, but had an entertainment area for guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to this lady with blonde hair and blue eyes. While I was getting out of the pool, I was walking through this hallway, and I had this like cloak or garment or something, like a cloak, and it was old velvet. It was like maroon. It had this patch on it, like a coat of arms, and I remember it so distinctly. It's weird.
Wow. And did you ever go look it up and find that coat of arms? Were you able to remember it?
Yeah, it's Orange Nassau.
A pardon?
The coat of arms belongs to the House of Orange Nassau.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow. Well, do you think you were a member of that family at that time and that this came to you as a reminder of that life?
I suspect I am, because I've had other readings and other connections to the royalty over there, and I remember the castle. It was Schloss Marienburg. They've had relatives in that castle.
Wow. I just...
Battenbergs.
Wow. That, again, see, I had mentioned that earlier. Thank you very much for the call. I had mentioned that earlier, Nassos, that there is a... Well, it is said that some can remember their past lives, even in dreams. And I would love to be able to talk to you about all of this for an entire extra hour, but we are utterly out of time. In fact, I'm a little bit late closing the program here. So I would like to thank you, Nassos, for spending so much time with us tonight on this fascinating subject. I'd love to talk about all of this with you again at another date,
yeah,
if you have the time.
It will be a pleasure, yeah. Sure.
Oh, that would be really...
We can do
good.
It. We certainly haven't covered the subject yet. We just touched on it. So.
Yes. Yeah, I made some notes here on our notes, and I'll save this for when they get the opportunity another time. We'll know what to talk about that we didn't touch on tonight.
Yep.
All right, well... Nassos Komianos, everybody, there is only one, and his website is hypnoscopesis.gr/en. You can find that link over on artbelllegacy.com, and that's our show tonight, everybody. Be good to each other, and good night.
And there's wisdom in the air.
I've been looking for the answers. All my life I felt you there. As the world we live in quickens, are we heeding all the signs? Have we lost our intuition? Are we running out of time?